Hey, you, wake up. It's Saturday morning, and it's time to jump on that to-do list. But that home improvement project doesn't have to be a chore. Before you jump in, tune in here to About Your House to listen and learn from the most experienced and reputable contractors and service providers in the industry. On today's show, we have Todd Chittister of Dwell Inc., as well as Marco, and join us for Hour 3. About Your House is brought to you by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us as we spread a little love. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Welcome to a nice, cooler Saturday morning. As we head into autumn, it is September 7th. A beautiful one at that. A little cloudy, not too bad outside. However, we're moving into fall, autumn. Two more weeks, we'll be hitting the autumn and moving into cooler weather. And are you ready? My guest today, Todd Chittister from Dwell Inc. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. You feeling better?
I feel much better. Thank you for asking.
You still a little stuffy.
A little stuffy.
I can see. I can hear it in you.
Yeah.
A little stuffy, but you're feeling better.
It's going around. It's going.
No.
If it hadn't hit you, it's going to hit you.
Well, the cooties out there, you know, you get summer.
Yeah. Cold.
You know, everybody gets all fearful now over something. It's called something or called something or called something else, you know. It's the dang cold flu season.
Got to get out there and live.
Got to keep on going. And just feed that body the proper nutrition and eat well, take care of yourself, be physical, get plenty of sleep, rest, drink plenty of water. You had enough of that yet? But it's all about taking care of yourself.
For sure.
Developing your immunity, you know. But I will say this. God created a miracle in each and every one of us. And within your body lies a lot of healing, and you can do it yourself. It's about an attitude, and I know because I've lived it. I wouldn't tell you something if I didn't experience it myself, but I know for a fact you can take it once you learn how to take care of it. And some people say, oh, you're crazy, Ray Terry. Okay. I can buy that. You know, a lot of people call me crazy through the years, and I guess I am a little, you know, in my own way, but I sure follow what's right.
I don't think the goal is to be normal, Ray.
There is no normal.
That's right.
There is no such thing as normal. Not today, anyway.
Nope.
More so maybe 100 years ago. But anyway, things change. I'm not going to get too heavy into that yet.
We got 3 hours.
Yet.
We'll get into some of it, I guess.
Yet. Because what I've been going through the past two, three weeks, not to say it's been bad, not been bad at all. It's just been very eye-opening, very mind-bending, actually. And we'll get into that. But I just hope everybody had a great week and is doing well. And get the kids back in school, kind of leveling out here. They've been out there a couple weeks now in school. And it takes them at least two to four weeks to acclimate. And that's not just the kids. It's teachers, school system, everything else. Depending on where you're at. Put Tools in Schools is gearing up for a school year and going to do our best to get in front of as many kids and embrace them and let them hold a tool, let them do something, because a lot of kids, I had no idea how bad it really is. I mean, I had no idea how little our kids know about critical thinking, resourceful thinking, and really just thinking. Thinking is required every day. And these kids have been told what to do, how to do it, what to learn, what not to learn, and they're robots for the most part. I hear it from, and I'm not quoting me, although I'm witnessing it firsthand right now, because I've taken under my wing a 20-year-old young man. That young man does not exemplify all kids, okay? So I'm not sitting here saying they're all not that way, Ray. No, you're right. Everybody's different. Everybody. We all got our own little personalities and all. We all learn differently. We're all, our chemistries are different and everything else. However, the one thing that's required is thinking. If you don't think about your actions, you're kind of lost. And everything you do takes thought, critical thinking, and somewhat of a plan, from the simplest things to the most difficult things. But if you don't give it thought or think about it, you won't be able to do it. And now that's just basic, isn't it?
I believe it is.
Sounds real basic.
I know you're saying tongue in cheek, you got to think about something, but like you have to go in with the mindset, we're going to solve a problem. We're going to fix something.
Life is that way.
We got it. A lot of folks are just going in with the wind.
They float.
They just float.
Yep. With no thinking about it, they just kind of follow. And therein lies the issue. Most people now follow. Where are the leaders?
Well, they're out there. I think
we're not teaching it.
No, I think that there are some teachers out there trying.
Oh God! You know, and my goodness!
I just left my brother who was Todd, in fourth grade,
you're right.
And he's. Within the context of the system, he's trying, and he is, I think, pretty successful at getting his young kids, fourth graders, to think
Where
about the
he?
Way. He's in New York State.
In New York State. Yeah.
But he's still hamstrung.
No, you're exactly right, and thank God for teachers,
mm-hmm.
all of them, even if they can't do what they want to do. And that's the case in a lot of situations with our learning institutions. They are dictated to, and they have their protocols, and you are not to deviate from those protocols. But some teachers do, and they get their point across, which are great. I can name a few. Matter of fact, we might be fortunate enough to hear one today call in.
Good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I think we're due for some reform.
It's
going to happen. I think.
Oh, it is happening.
And it has to with all of the things, yeah. It had to change when you had a calculator. It had to change when you found the internet. It's going to change radically now as AI comes.
Like, oh my God!
The way that we have to teach kids to think, to your point, is going to be more critical than ever, because you have all of these different tools of the trade, which AI is a part of that now, and. Right, wrong, or indifferent, you like it or not, there are some wonderful benefits that kids can reap and humans can as a result of it. Now, where does that become too much? I guess we'll find out eventually.
Well, we have already found out with smartphones. and how it's affected our children, how it's affected how it's affected our culture, not just our kids, but you, me, him, everyone.
Yeah, we were talking about studies this with my brother. It's like the number one thing you can do to help kids learn: take away their phone during the day.
It's totally codependency.
It is.
It's addiction, and I know we talk a lot about that. Okay, but here's the issue we're going to talk about as it affects you, Todd Chichester, Dwelling.
Yes.
You are starting a business.
Yep.
You're still in startup.
Very
now, if
so.
I'm wrong,
very
let me
so.
Know.
Yep.
Okay. And I bring Todd on the show for a reason. My reason, maybe not his, but
I'll tell you.
But he is undertaking, starting on an endeavor down a pathway that is brutal because it deals exactly with what I'm talking about. Service, industry, working with your hands, fixing, repairing. Not only fixing and repairing, but before you can fix and repair, you must understand. And you must deal with the everything behind the problem to repair it correctly. In today's world, stupid prevails.
It does.
And that's the point. It's your house, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
I know what to do. You don't. Now, another thing about technology. You got YouTube University.
Mm-hmm.
You've got information. Everybody has information and resources at their little fingertips.
Yep.
Every day. Not one, but you could just pick out amongst 10 or 20 videos and watch it and learn. And it's wonderful. But you still don't know the background. You don't know the reasons. You don't have the experience to back it up, the wisdom, you might say.
No, for sure.
And that's important. Now, how do we get that? How do we change this? I don't know.
I mean, I don't think the technology and the information at your fingertips is never going away. And I will tell you, it's probably a good thing. However,
It's great.
There are times where I have not done something and I've looked on YouTube and like, that looks easy. And then I wish I would have called someone else to do it many, many times.
But you learn that.
And I'm
way
not talking about
well.
Home renovation. I'm talking about things in general.
Life. We spend a lot.
Yeah.
Just
I'll give you an example. So I was talking with my brother and he's addicted to Facebook Marketplace.
Okay.
He wants a deal, right? He wants a kayak for $100 that somebody else doesn't want.
Right.
He'll spend hours negotiating, driving, having conversation. And his wife's just like, you know, if you just bought that thing new, you could have enjoyed it all summer long versus having to chase it for the last 6 weeks.
And what's your time
and chased
worth?
It. So 6 weeks, again, and then he got to use it for 2 weeks because it's New York State. So, yes, we chase. And some of that is a good chase. It's a good quest.
Well, it can be. It's a journey. And when you finish it, look what I did. You know, and I love it.
Yeah,
that is great. But yesterday, 2 days ago, and here's a great, I woke up, I had to go pick up my student. And no, I had to go pick up something, and I tried to crank my car. Click, 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 chatter, 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 dead. Oh, my gosh, the battery. Or the alternator. Or, you know, you just... Now, I know it was the battery of the alternator. I mean, I'm smart enough to know. I got sense enough to know. Well, I jumped it off, and we ran. And I ran some errands and took care of some things. And came back, cranked right up again. It cranked right up the whole time I was out. Then I got back. It set all afternoon, and then got in, chatter, chatter, chatter again. So what do I have to do next? Yesterday. Well, I got to go do a job I'm committed to. Got to be there. I go out there, click, 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 chatter, chatter. Yep. Oh, God, now I got to chase a battery. And I did. I had it, but I got a new battery now.
Of course you do.
Yep, got it.
Because that's what was going on.
I knew it was the battery and not the alternator because it was charging.
Sure.
And, you know, if it's charging, you know, it's just a process of elimination. Now you take that, just that little bit. That was just basic information that you knew what I was talking about, didn't you?
Sure.
Well, not everybody does. Not everybody does. And we're not teaching our kids those basics principles behind mechanics and automobiles. Another example, putting on a tire. You'd think a 20-year-old has had experience of putting on a tire, changing a tire. Nope. And righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. You ever heard that?
From the day I was born.
Yeah. Righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. How many times you have to be told that before you get it?
So it's been inside of me, Ray.
But you know.
That's right.
Because you were taught.
But if it's new for the first time,
if it's new for the first time, you got to get it. Well, I rolled a new tire out. Said, go put this on that truck. I'm not coming and babysitting you. You're going to do it. I don't care if it takes you 2 hours. I've shown you how. We've done this before. Now it's your turn.
I love to tell you a story. So my son's 20 years old, and he had a knack for getting things in the tire. I don't know, probably because he runs over things you're not supposed to run over.
Yeah.
Or runs into a fence.
So he gets a lot of flat tires.
So he gets a lot of flat tires. And the first time, like, he's like, I can call AAA. He's like, you can, or I can come help you. And so I taught him the first time. And now, whenever I get there, it's all done. Like, he has it up in the air. We just checked the last final things. And, you know, if we had just called AAA every time, he would have never known how to do that. So now, but now he's going to be able to teach his kids and help his brother.
And that's being empowered.
Yeah.
And see, that's the whole key right there. Here's what I've seen throughout my ventures with kids in the past 5 years. Although I've had kids, I've worked with kids my whole life, I've been around kids my whole life, and I know people pretty well because I've worked with them. Am I right? No, not always. Sometimes I react. No.
You? Right there reacting?
And it's not always pretty. But I've learned to somewhat gauge that. But you have to react sometimes. Because it's wrong.
Of course.
It's wrong. So I'm going to react. And especially if I've told you beforehand. But I got to take a break. So I'm going to take a break. Todd Chester's in the house talking dwelling. No, we're talking about kids right now. But how this all affects you as a homeowner. You're finding out if you're calling around trying to get something done.
Geez.
I mean, you know, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It's hard for everybody. That's what we're trying to solve.
There you go. There you go. You're listening to About Your House. I hope you are anyway. Right here on Fox Sports Charlotte. Tune in. Download the free app, Fox Sports Charlotte. There is no more radio. We're streaming live on 4 different platforms now. Soon to have more. But right now, Fox Sports Charlotte, FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com on your browser. About Your House Facebook page and YouTube channel. Go on there. We're YouTube and live and Facebook live. Every Saturday morning right here, the voice of Put Tools in Schools. We'll be back.
Sometime later, getting the words wrong, wasting the meaning and losing the rhyme. Snazzy as adrenaline, breaking up a dog fight like a deer in the headlights, frozen in real time. I'm losing my mind. It's time to move on, time to get gone. What lies ahead, I have no way of knowing.
Okay, welcome back. I got Todd Chester in the house today. A middle-aged man from upstate New York, born and raised up there.
I was born and raised, yep.
Yep, upstate.
In a small town south of Buffalo, between Buffalo and Erie, Pennsylvania.
I got you.
When I left, there was about 1,900 people.
How close to Utica are you?
Very far.
Very far?
Like 4 hours.
I don't remember.
No, when I left, there was 1,900 people. About 400 people kind of aged out, died, or moved. And about 300 Amish people moved in. So my hometown now has hitching posts at the post office and at the grocery store, at the pizza shop.
Instead of going forward,
they're going backwards.
The people that are doing the work
where I'm from are the Amish people. They're fixing every house. They're working. There's some skilled craftsmen talking about kids learning.
Well, your dad was a shop teacher.
He was.
And you went up north last week, you say.
I did.
So you went up to Homestead.
Sure did.
It's all the family.
Pops is 85, I think.
Right.
Yeah. He was the last wood and metal shop teacher, industrial arts, they called it.
Yes, I remember.
In New York State. And I think I told you the story before. Is like one year they're like, you're now the technology teacher. And he's like, I don't know what that is. They're like, well, it's with computers. You don't have your shop anymore. And they said, you got to teach computers. He couldn't even, he didn't know how to turn on the computer.
I bet you don't know what year that was, do you?
I bet you late 80s.
Late 80s, okay. Because in Charlotte, it started happening in the mid-70s.
Yeah, I think he went from like having very big influence, big shop, to like smaller, just the basics of maybe doing a cutting board.
Sure.
By the time it was over, they wouldn't even let him use like real sauce. The teachers had to do everything.
That's such a shame.
Yep.
You know, there's such value in kids learning how to use tools. This week, Thursday, 2 days ago, I had saw class. I jerked out all my saws. Now, when I said all my saws, I'm talking about Sawzall, Saber Saw, Coping Saw, Hand Saw, Circular Saw, Oscillating Saw. You get the picture.
All your saws.
There's a few more. There's a few sure. more I could have gotten, like a hacksaw. But the points were, and the power, all the power saws. My student never held a circular saw in his hand before.
That doesn't surprise me. You say, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He never saw anything in his life.
That's not astonishing to me as a father of 20 year olds.
Yeah. Right.
And watching them be 20 and 22, there's not been an opportunity. They haven't had it in school. They haven't had to do it at home because I did it.
Everybody took care of them. And school has not let them embrace that part of the brain that has to engage and do critical thinking. Do you see where I'm coming from now? The critical thinking aspect.
Sure.
It's like there's a Phillips screw and there's a straight slot head screw. Go get me a screwdriver for a slot head.
Yeah.
And they come back, they don't know. Now that, not only the saw, but that's a biggie.
Yeah, it's not their fault.
I'm not blaming the
I know
kids.
That, I know you're not.
And I'm not.
It is a systemic issue we have. I will tell you, one thing that's really was fascinating for me, I went home, and my dad, being a woodshop teacher, I think there's this other thing that's we're missing. You put tools in schools. It's not just about holding the saw. It's not just about learning how to make a cutting board. It's a home for people that the traditional path of Excel spreadsheets and Microsoft Word and sitting in a chair doesn't work for. And my dad and I, we butted heads. We did not get along.
Know the feeling.
But I have met so many young men and men that have said, your dad was the only dad I ever knew. He took me in. He taught me life skills.
Shop teacher.
Life skills.
Yeah.
Like there was not anybody that he would not teach. He was like, you know what? We can do this. And a lot of times these were rougher kids. But
he was a disciplinarian too, wasn't he?
He was the last teacher in New York State that had the paddles on the board, on the wall. He brought them home. The Board of Education, you know, grinder.
I've learned all this. The discipline is required.
Yes.
Because if you don't have some sort of penalty for screwing up other than a red mark on a piece of paper, You're not learning.
And it's different when you have to, when your accompaniment is something that can hurt you. So, like,
yeah.
You can
safety.
Cut your finger off.
Off.
And so there has to be discipline. You must stand this way. You must tuck your shirt in. You must do this. And if you don't, it's
and
not because you don't want
shoes,
to.
Tie your shoes, pull your pants up,
it's going to pull you in. And sure. my dad, I don't think he's only lost a couple fingers by people. Not his. His are fine. But, like, there's a story of every chop teacher. How many fingers have you lost?
Well.
And you know why? Because they lose fingers.
They do.
And so.
And arm and hands.
And there's a reason why the kids couldn't cut. Things later is because there's fear and
liability and the rules
were very litigious.
The rules are around legal.
So I'll tell you when we talk about put tools in schools, I have a huge passion for it because my dad I believe that I have met some of the most incredible humans that found their path through the trades and through. Learning like how to think critically and solve problems. But I think the thing I miss that I'm most excited about is having that there's a mentor type thing. There's a way, there's a path, there's a way it's not just you can, but it's a honorable shoulders back, chin up, this like trades and having other people as father figures and mother figures teaching these things like
That's part of the problem. Mothers can't teach all this. And single parents have a rough time just making ends meet, and it's never been harder. So we're not giving our children the attention they really actually need for a sustainable life. And it's not their fault either. I mean, I'm not here to blame.
No, me neither.
We just got to find solutions. And, you know, part of the solutions is here's the simplicity of it for me because I've watched it. One, I've taken way too much for granted that my knowledge. I had no idea I know what I know because I've known it for years. Mm-hmm. I was raised with like you. My father did everything,
mm-hmm.
everything. I was exposed to tools. I can't remember there's a time in my life where I wasn't exposed mm-hmm. to tools. You know, and all kinds of tools. And I learned, well, that's a blessing. And here I am. I know every tool, not everyone, but, you know, I'm pretty broad-minded about that. However, that's a thing of the past.
I stayed in a room where the desk my dad built when he was in fifth grade.
Yeah.
Fifth grade. Desk with drawers.
Oh, I hear you. I get it.
I didn't do nothing in fifth grade like that. I did But the coolest thing about this though, is that, we can make a difference.
We're going to.
I mean, the kids love to build Legos. Have you ever seen them do this Minecraft thing?
Yeah.
They can build and design, and it's just this. I'll remember the
kids are geniuses, man. They every one of them.
Tell you, Ray. Yeah, when I was a single dad for the first summer. I was like, what am I going to do with my kids? Like, I had them for weeks at a time. I was like, I wish my dad would have brought me and taught me how to fish or something. And I'm like, what am I good at? And I said, you know what I'm good at? I'm good at solving problems. And we fixed a small engine.
Oh, so that's great.
And we took that thing apart.
Yeah.
And we put it back together. And they would have thought it was a Super Bowl when we went to start it at the end.
Exactly.
And when that thing started... And my 8-year-old son says, Dad, this is better than Legos. I'm like, all right, now we're going to do a go-kart. So then we went to the junkyard. I'm like, do you want to get an engine that's like brand new or you want to get one that's kind of upside down in the mud? And they're like, upside down in the mud. So we got the one upside down in the mud, and we brought this thing back to life and called it the junkyard dog. And
that's awesome. Good dad.
Well, it was too fast. At the end of it, we couldn't even use it. It was so fast. But like... It was fun.
Great. That's awesome. That's a great story. Well, you know, over in the toolbox, you've been there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're emptying it. We're over half empty now. And I've got stuff in there like an old lawnmower, an old pressure washer. They don't run because they've sat too long. The carbs have gummed up. Easy fix. Takes a float chain. You know, all that. I'm not getting rid of that stuff.
No.
Those are teaching aids.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm going to have classes. We're going to have classes. Not just me. This is why I need support from all you older folks out there that think you retired and you're bored and you want something to do and you got brains like I'm talking about, come help.
Oh, my gosh. If you know how to fix a small engine.
Yeah.
If you're one of these old guys that knows how to, you can light some young kids up.
Oh, my gosh. And I've got all the tools.
It's the same thing over and over again.
Sure.
That small engine is the same thing over and over again. And if you can teach these kids and then talk about how you can go a little bit faster by putting, changing things,
yeah,
you get some gearheads ready to go.
On that note, I built my first mini bike when I was 15, I think. It was my cousin's. Oh, it was stock, naturally, but that didn't last long. Anyway, those are great childhood days. But to your point, you know, with your kids fixing that engine, that's incredible. I tore my first lawnmower apart and put it back together when I was 12, and it cranked.
Yeah.
So, and it was fun. My uncle's lawnmower. I was bored, and
I remember they'll to this day. I was like, "What does it take to get like a piston to move?"
And
like,
yeah,
air, a spark, and fuel.
Yeah, combination
and the compression and like
right.
So just teaching them how those things work
basics.
and a piston, how it goes up and down, and that's the foundation for every vehicle that's on the road.
ICE, internal combustion.
Except for the electrical.
Yeah, internal combustion engine.
Yeah,
they're called ICE. Ice machines.
Yeah.
Well, that's great that you taught your kids that. How many kids you got?
I got three.
Three.
I don't know if they remembered it. No.
Sure. They'll never forget that.
Yeah.
There's certain things that you do innately that you never forget. Once you create,
maybe
that'll go with you. You did it with your father. You can think of things right here, right now, that your father did with you that stuck with you all these years.
I can tell you one that sticks with my daughter. I told you that they changed their outlets, and so she
was receptacle.
Yeah, she was 6 at the time, and her.
This is a father. I won't set this stage here, but this is a father with his kids, apparently getting them familiar with some electricity.
Yeah. So I was just like, we moved into a house in the 70s. I'm like, all of the outlets, the receptacles were loose. I'm like, let's just change them all out. They all had ground. It wasn't like the old ones. So boys would do and say, and first thing is safety. Always safety. So check it, turn it off, check it, turn it off.
Make sure your shit power's off.
And I check 3 times.
Sure.
And especially when I'm talking with my 6-year-old daughter. So she does one. It takes her about 45 minutes. I'm like, I'm going to do the rest of them. I go to the outside to the hallway. She'll never forget this because I went in there to do it. Popped because I didn't check that receptacle. I thought it was on the same one for the room. Boom, popped across the room. Dad, you didn't do the thing you told us to do.
Right.
You didn't do it. You didn't check it. You weren't safe.
But that was a lesson in itself.
I think she'll learn it forever.
Yeah.
I learned it again.
Oh, man. Sometimes when I tell people this, they get upset. But in older homes, as you well know now, your breaker boxes aren't labeled. Mm-mm. Or are labeled incorrectly. How many times have you seen that, Mr. Chedister?
Every time I go to a house. And it's not just older ones.
I know. It's newer ones too. Anyway, so I got to find, I don't like getting shocked. I've been shocked more times than I can count. Okay. 120 volts. I've been shocked with 50 amp, 220. Now, I ain't bragging, but it wasn't all my fault. Regardless, I've been shocked. And when I do any electrical work now, I don't like to play with a live circuit. I do sometimes. Yeah, I'm an idiot. Okay. Yeah, I'll play with a live wire sometimes because it takes me a lot less time to deal with that wire than it does go hunt the circuit down like that. But I'll short circuit them. Pow. I'll make that spark to trip the breaker. And I know a lot of you electricians have done that, so don't sit there and tell me it's wrong and all this. I don't want to hear it. You know, I short circuit. So then you go look for the breaker that's tripped.
Yeah.
There it is right there. Yeah. And then I cut it off, you know, just cut it off. And by the way, when you have a tripped breaker, when you reset it, you have to turn it off before you turn it on. Now, sometimes you'll turn it on right out of the trip and it'll go there, but it ain't on.
Mm-mm.
Just for your knowledge, you got to turn it off completely. Turn it back on. Okay. Enough about circuit breaker lesson. But anyway, so that you go find it that way. But I don't like getting, you know, shocked. But to your story, She'll never forget that.
No.
She'll never forget that. That's in her mind. Is a, I've seen what happens when that happens. You know, and that's a short circuit, too. You hit a hot to the ground or whatever, mm-hmm. and that's what did it. And that's what I'm talking about. And you
yep. got zapped.
And you know what? In some older homes, some breakers will not trip. They won't trip. You sit there and arc yep. it all you want and weld them together. And it, I hit several through the years like that. But that's a bad breaker.
Mm-hmm.
That told you you got to, we need to replace that circuit breaker
because
mm-hmm. it ain't doing its job. That ain't good. So anyway, but power, electricity.
Yeah.
But you taught your four-year-old to change a receptacle.
I think that that's the, so when we're talking about people don't know how to do things, it's because they would never were taught. And so every single person that's out there that knows how to do something with their home, find someone that's young and teach them. Like, that's, like, every time you do it. Like, I, sometimes my kids, I'm like, that's not how you use a rake. Like, teach someone how to use a rake. Like, teach someone how to use a shovel. Like, teach them how to step on a
Tell
shovel.
Tell them what a shovel is.
Yeah, like.
You know, you ever seen one of these? Well, and there's kids that haven't. That's the thing, because we went out, I went out with Men of Destiny.
Yeah.
You know, to a garden that we were going to build, that we built, actually raised beds and put dirt, mm-hmm. you know, group plant. And a lot of kids out there didn't know how to shovel.
No. Nope.
They didn't know what a yard rake was versus leaf rake. We get into a rake class. Yeah. And see, all these tools, every one of them I've mentioned to you is in the toolbox. You know, emptying that sucker. Good Lord, now I know why we call it the toolbox, because everything we move has got a tool in it. I've seen more wrenches and more tools and more miscellaneous stuff, old, new, all kinds of stuff that I didn't even know was in there. It's amazing. It's amazing. But, all right, moving forward for this new year and new school year, how can we embrace our children, our students, and give them basic knowledge, or just the knowledge that these pathways in life exist and you can make a darn good living mm-hmm. and have great purpose? Because, see, once you learn this stuff, you can teach it later on in life. But if you don't know it, it's kind of hard to teach what you don't know, isn't it, Todd?
It really is. It really is. No, it's a fascinating thing that we're going into right now.
Yeah.
And the schools, I love, that's the foundation where our kids are taught. But also, every day we have to try to, like, take our time to teach them. And it may take longer, and it may be frustrating, but when you're teaching a young person and giving them, equipping them how to even do their own laundry,
you're
taking people along.
Or cook.
Every time, just teach a little bit. I don't think that I, as a single dad, did that all the best ways. I luckily have a great human that partners in Karen and loving my kids, my ex-wife, and she's just amazing. So if I didn't, And her husband, so, like, we're all, he's a teacher, and so, like,
oh, cool.
There's a DNA that we need to teach and to learn every day, and that's what I'm hoping can do and change.
What really concerns me is the fact that we're teaching our kids all about academics, like that's their savior. I've heard parents and educators alike say, well, they'll figure it out in college. No, they won't. It's already been proven. They will not figure it out in college. All they're going to do is acquire more debt, more confusion, more misdirection. Now, that's not true 100%, okay? But the numbers prove it. The data proves it. This ain't out of my mouth, and I'm not against it. I'm just sure as hell ain't for it because of the ramifications and the manifestation of the bigger problem, and that's just... Until we work together and learn to do critical thinking, we're going to keep going down this road we're on, and it ain't pretty. For every 5 of people that retire, 2 step up to replace. That's it. That's pretty gloomy. And out of 5 technicians you may call to fix your electrical in your house, Five calls, maybe one knows what he's doing. Remodeling's a challenge.
It is. One area I'll tell you, and I've been doing this on purpose. You know, the company that I started is to help people own their houses because it's too hard.
We're gonna talk about that.
But like,
and that's why you're here.
I have a dryer, and I want to talk about appliances.
Sure.
And how hard it is to manage an appliance that breaks, and kind of what my experience has been since October of last year with a drum that's busted.
A clothes dryer?
Clothes dryer.
Okay.
And I was telling my parents.
There's
about,
not much to clothes dryer.
No, I tried telling my parents this. Like, that's why you have Greg Backe. You know, it's a local appliance. He'll just bring us a new one. He'll take the old one back, and he'll get the drum there. And that hometown feel is like, oh, that one appliance guy could do everything.
Yeah.
Because I'd pay extra for him. Today, yeah. I would, since October, I haven't gotten this drum. Since October.
Welcome to America.
You have to be certified, an LG. You got to get an RN. You got to have all of the things. And
All the rules. You got to play by all the rules.
I've spent over 20 hours on the phone so far trying to get my drive. And I'm doing this.
Yeah, you're chasing.
I'm doing this as an experiment
to show how difficult it is to take care of.
I record every conversation. LG says one thing, technician says another. And they're back and forth.
Welcome to corporate America.
Yep.
Along with
just
lack
hard.
Of knowledge.
It's hard.
Lack of creative thinking. Lack of critical thinking, right?
I'm not sure what the problem is with this appliance, but it's driving me crazy. Somebody has to think critically.
We're going to take a break here, folks. You're listening to About Your House, talking to Todd Chittister just about life in general, about our kids, about students, about what we need to do collectively as a community. It takes a village.
Sure does.
You just can't get four or five people tackling this. It takes a village. Industry, we need you. We'll be back. Talk more about that. And Dwell Inc. What is that? We'll be back.
I can't hide myself. I don't expect you to understand. I just hope I can explain what it's like to be a man. It's a lonely road, and they don't care about what you know. It's not about how you feel, but what you provide inside that home. Being a man is what you make it. You can't always live up to expectations. You try to please everybody while you struggle, so you fake it and end up out of balance, compromising situations. As a good man, do what he should, man. Give everything he has and do everything he could, man. You might find yourself feeling all alone inside a house you built that you don't recognize as home. And that's what my daddy told me, and I'll tell my son the same. Now that I'm older, I relate, and I actually feel his pain. He never cried, he might have lied, but he did not complain. And he said, son, one day you'll have to do the same. I get emotional when I stop and think, and I look around beyond the county lines of my small town. I think about all the men out there who feel like I do now, who are screaming on the inside but won't ever make a sound. I don't expect you to understand. I just hope I can explain what it's like to be a man. It's a lonely road.
All right, welcome back. Very touching, meaningful song there, Darius Rucker. Great song. Todd Chittister's in the house. I want to tell you, got some great guests coming up. Take this time to tell you, we got a calendar. And I tell you, there's a calendar. All these guests are going to be posted on the events calendar of puttoolsandschools.org. So there's a little cross-reference there between guest of the show and events around put tools in schools. And we've got some, got one coming up here at Mount Pleasant High School on Thursday, September 19th. We're going to be able to hopefully engage 500 to 1,000 kids and at least maybe get a tool in their hand or get an idea of some career pathway or opportunity or just general knowledge about something. Give you a story about that this week. My student that I'm working with brought me a picture the other day of his disposal in his kitchen, full of yuck. Full. I mean, it was up to the brim. He says, Uncle Ray, he says, I got a problem. Can you help me with it? I says, what's your problem? He says, see my disposal? I said, How long has it been like that? He says, I hate to tell you. I said, well, try. He says, since April. I said, oh, no. I says, so it won't work. He says, no, I turned the switch on, it just doesn't work. I says, well, okay. There's a button on the bottom. It's there. Trust me. You can't look there. You got to look close because it's kind of recessed. And then you push that button. And then try it. But before you do it, cover that up. Cover that hole up. Cover that hole up. Because if you don't, you'll regret not covering the hole up, okay? Because you'll have crap going everywhere. So, and I said, try that. See how it goes. So he came in the next morning. It didn't turn. It just hummed. I said, but it's humming now, right? He said, yeah. I said, well, that's a good sign. That means it's jammed, meaning the plate's not turning. The motor won't turn. Okay, so we got electricity. We know that. And he's, that's all right. Yep. I said, if it'll hum a minute, then it'll click, and that reset button just tripped again. Just push that. So he came in the next day, says, all I hear is a hum. Okay, we're headed down the right path. I went into one of my drawers back there, you know, tools everywhere. I got my little wrench. And then I said, every disposer comes with a wrench, every one of them. And I got lots of them laying around the toolbox there. And I got this drawer. I put a lot of plumbing. Well, actually, there's two plumbing drawers. And I rumbled around through it. Ah, here's a wrench here. What's this? Because I'm teaching him every step of the day, every day, all day long. I teach him. What is this? He looked at it, and he says, it looks like an Allen wrench. Yay, hallelujah. But read it. Because he reads everything thinking the answer to my questions is on the tool. But he read it, and it said disposer wrench. I said, now, there's a hole in the center of the bottom.
You just turn on that thing.
You just turn. You put it in that hole, the Allen wrench in that hole, and turn it.
Yep.
This way or that way, it don't matter because you're
jammed.
Yes, just jammed. Came back next day.
Worked.
It worked. I said, well, he said, but the stuff's not draining out. I said, that's because you ain't doing it right. You got to take hot water, hot as you can get, and turn it on and let it run through. And that might work, and it might not, because there's a baffle in that thing in one of those pipes, and I'll show you. And I showed him, and we went through the lesson. Now, I don't know the result of it because he ain't done it yet.
Then you add a little bit of vinegar.
Yep, that would do it too.
Get some of that grease out of there.
There you go. Yep. Yep. But see, there's a lesson in disposer right there. But that's helping. That's teaching.
Sure.
Because a lot of people think, what's first thought? Oh, I got to get a new disposer. No, you don't. Fix the one you got. Then he was talking about having to take it out. He got on YouTube. God bless him. He's thinking. Hallelujah. He went on YouTube and saw how you unclamp the disposer from the bracket that goes in through the hole. He said, well, I can take it off. I said, yeah, but you don't want to.
Mm-mm.
You don't want to if you don't have to. Now, you can. I'll show you how. I gave him a pair of channel locks. Here, you need a pair of these.
Sometimes.
Everybody needs a pair of channel locks. It's your ultimate plumbing wrench.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to be a big pair and a little pair. You got to have both. But anyway, but see those examples right there, you know, he had no idea.
Yeah, now he does.
That's empowering.
Now he does. You taught somebody the first time and then they learn it.
Now, how can we empower more kids to be resourceful and eliminate the fear? Because in conversation, I says, why do you hesitate? I'm afraid of messing up. Mess up.
Yeah.
I advocate it. Please.
Well, we had a similar situation. Homeowner had a disposal that was jammed. It was only a couple of years old.
Sure.
But the homeowner had done all this before, right? They'd known it. They're my age. They've like had a disposal. They even know enough to get the wrench and they turn it. What they didn't know enough was how hard can you crank on it? So they did a little bit, and they didn't want to break it. And it's like, well, if it's broken, we have to replace it anyhow. You had to put it just enough. And if you don't know, you have to turn that thing hard. You're afraid to.
Yeah, you're afraid to.
And
I understand.
Like, so the guy's like
fear.
But like, there's no fear here. Like, we have to either replace it or we'll get it fixed.
Yeah.
But you don't know that unless you know that.
And well, it's like I say on this show. First of all, you got to get intimate with your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Now, if you get intimate with your wife, do you have to be careful? Huh? I mean, think about it. But you get intimate with your house, you're going to mess up.
Yep.
And when you do, you call somebody. If you can't fix it, you call somebody.
For sure.
My friend Vicky, you've met Vicky Samuels.
I'm not sure I have. But
well, you have. I've heard. On the board.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, put tools in schools. And God bless her. She'll, since she met me, she's gotten braver. Because I preach all the time, don't be afraid.
Right.
Oh, the worst thing that happens, you have to call somebody else to fix it. But if you can do it, do it. You know, I'm here to help, just like your four-way switch with old Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm here for you, brother, anytime, any day, anywhere. I'll answer my phone. If I'm near it, I'll answer it. I'm here for you, and I've told you that, too.
Sure, for sure. And I use it.
Yeah, I want to be available because a phone call and FaceTime, amazing, isn't it?
It really is.
Man, you can FaceTime a job. I mean, hey, let me see what you got. I mean, Steve Helms does this with me all the time with All Metal. Used to.
Mm-hmm.
He's learned so darn much now. He's pretty much solo now, yeah. Which is great. Mm-hmm. And that gives me a great feeling, too, to know that he don't have to call me no more.
Of course. No, that phone call to someone you trust, like that in and of itself has huge value.
Yeah.
When we talk about dwelling, I was like, we want to be like your uncle, you know, the uncle you trust. Should I get a new dryer or not get a new dryer? Should I?
Well, make the call.
Yeah. But
at
someone,
least make that
and
call.
Someone you trust.
Yeah.
And so that's hopefully what we're trying to be.
And on your clothes dryer deal. And,
yeah, yeah.
And I appreciate what you're doing with your clothes dryer because you're actually, that's a story. And we'll come
sure.
back to that at a later date. I'm going to find out what happened to your dryer. But you don't know how many times that we went to a house and there's a brand new dryer sitting there. And it did the same thing the old dryer did. The thermal broke. The fuse popped.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, we thought we needed a new dryer. Thing is, you didn't know what you needed. It didn't work, so you back to the disposer. You need a new disposer. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You need to fix the old one. First thing, a clothes dryer, except for the computer boards, if they in fact have computer boards, and most 90% of them do now, even the simple ones have a chip in them, as I've learned from my buddy mm-hmm. Chip Raker, Chris Raker, Plaza Appliance Service. Now, there's a guy. You talking about a hometown guy, Chris Raker and his brother?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, they're incredible. But they've been in the appliance repair business for, Chris goes back 35 years now, I think. And he is fantastic. And he'll talk to you on the phone, too. But today, in today's world, not all appliances are that easily fixed because of the technology and the computer boards in them. Anyway, a clothes dryer, there ain't but four or five major parts to the whole appliance.
Simple. All I need is a drum.
Yeah.
I can't get the drum.
Yeah, but that's amazing. A drum went bad. That, to me, says that brand, not going back and telling what brand, ain't good. And I've heard that a lot about that brand of appliance, mm-hmm. which I'm not going to repeat it.
Give me one of the old ones.
Yes, sir. One. Give me something simple, because they all operate the same. Every one of them. I don't care how much you pay for it. They all operate the same. And, you know, on that note, I'm going to throw out, getting rid of the toolbox, I found a washer pump. Yeah, clothes washer pump. I want to talk about clothes washers. Don't let me forget.
Okay.
When we come back, I want to talk about clothes washers a minute. The new front loaders.
Okay.
With a little bitty door on the front. What's that little bitty door for? I'll tell you. When you come back. But you need to know about that little bitty door. Now, if it doesn't have a little bitty door, it's still got a panel on the bottom of the washing machine. and you're going to take that panel off. And I'm going to tell you what for when we come back. A lot of people don't know this. I learned the hard way. Story behind it. 704-227-8986. Call us. Love to hear from you. We're here with Todd Chester. We're going to take a top of the hour break now. We'll be back with more About Your House. Hour number two coming up.
Out here in the fields, I fight for my meals. I get my back into my living. I don't need to fight.
You awake yet? Hour two. Ray and Todd Chester continue the conversation on kids today and what we can do to help them gain the knowledge that they need. About Your House is brought to you in part by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. We'll share our knowledge and provide encouragement to improve not just your home, but every aspect of life. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two. Before the break there, I talked about front loader washing machines. You know, you got a washer pump, okay? And where's it at? Well, on front loaders, it's behind the bottom panel. Some of the front loaders have a little door down there, a little crack around a little door. You got to pop that off. It just snaps on, snaps off, okay? And behind that little door is a pump. And then in that little pump, there's a little turny thing. You can turn it out and pull the filter out. And now, how do I know this? Because mine malfunctioned back in the day. It's been 10, 12 years ago I did this. And I called my buddy Chris Raker, Plaza Appliance Service, again. Says, Chris, what's wrong? He says, told me, he says, down below the bottom panel of the bottom panel, take it off. Look in there. You see a little white pump with two little, one coming in, one coming out. I said, yeah, I see it. He says, notice there's a little handle on the cup there. I said, yeah. Turn it and take it out. I found a nail set, all kind of screws, coins, and I'm thinking, how in the world did that stuff get in that pump? It was there. I don't know how it got there, but it was there. Well, I naturally replaced the pump because it had all kinds of stuff. It wasn't working. Anyway, that's how I found out about it. But a lot of people don't know that exists, and you can take that out and clean it out. And then put it back in there.
So, Ray, fascinating. You said you called 11 or 12 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And you're, I don't know how old you are.
73.
73. So when you were 61, you learned something new.
Yeah, I did. Oh, you never stop learning, especially
so
in today's
world.
You
ask questions all the time. Like, how do we do it? It's like, just encourage people to be curious.
I encourage everybody to question everything.
Yes.
Everything. Like, I have a 94 Ford Ranger, 350,000 miles on it. I haven't driven it since 2017. But that sucker... It would crank right up, except until the fuel pump decided it doesn't want to work anymore, and it won't crank because I'm not getting fuel to the injectors. Okay. So yesterday I was contemplating another learning experience. I said, Jaquan, I'm thinking about, what's your thoughts on this? I'm thinking about pulling that fuel tank down and pulling the fuel pump out, fixing it. Can we do that? I wanted to see his expression. He says, can we do that? I said, yeah, we can. Are we going to? I says, I'm thinking about it. He says, that'd be fun. See?
Yeah, you get something to rev to life.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
As a person that you can get the gunk out of there, you get something that's like not moving.
Right. Yeah, fix it.
You know how many people throw away a vacuum cleaner?
Oh, my gosh. They don't know how to clean them.
It's just a simple, like a vacuum cleaner they throw away.
I know.
Because
it doesn't suck anymore.
It don't work anymore.
That's because, and they're so easy to fix, aren't they?
You cut all the hair off of it.
Yeah.
It's wrapped around the thing.
Right. And all the little screens that's around the little.
You have to get through all those holes. Just take it all apart, put it back together.
Yeah.
I guarantee
that's all you
got
to do. And you can go to YouTube University. Probably.
Yep.
You know, and I'll tell you, I'm glad you brought vacuum cleaners up.
Man, just take it apart, put it back together.
I got a rule about shop vacs.
What's that?
When I go to a house and I need a shop vac, I will not use someone else's shop vac without taking the lid off,
cleaning it,
because people don't know how to take care of shop vacs.
Nope.
But I gave Jaquan, there again, a lesson, second or third day, okay, what we call this? There's a vacuum cleaner in it. Looked like one. I said, yeah, shop vac. We'll use this shop vac more than anything else in the shop overall because cleanliness is next to godliness. And when you keep a neat job, you keep a safer job. So remember that. But let me tell you a story about vacuum cleaners. When I use a vacuum cleaner, I don't want to put dust in the house. The whole object is we're cleaning up, not messing up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've ever turned a shop vac on and it blows dust out, you ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
And that's because people don't clean their shop vacs. You know, that's why I won't use one. Seldom will I use a homeowner shop vac unless, like I say, I clean it out first. Because invariably, 90 to 95% of every shop vac I use, they're dirty.
Yep.
And they'll blow dust out. Well, why are we doing this? Anyway, I got a policy. Before we go out to a job and that shop vac's on the truck, we empty it. We shake the filter out, we put it back together, we put it on the truck.
That's great.
Because that, and when you're grinding, you got to have a shop vac. Mm-hmm. And now you say, what do you grind? Sometimes I go out and I have to cut granite for a cooktop.
Sure.
But the hole isn't big enough. So I got to take a quarter of an inch off, half inch off, whatever. Well, if you ain't got a shop vac, you're going to have a mess, and I won't have a mess. I won't have a mess. I won't do the job because I ain't cleaning no kitchen up. Full of dust and old granite chips and dusties. But shop vacs or vacuum cleaners, like you say, people throw them away all the time. Like lawnmowers. Lawnmower gums up.
Tell you, if you're a kid out there and you want to always make money,
there you go.
Learn how to fix a lawnmower and a vacuum cleaner.
Learn how to fix.
Nonstop.
But once you learn one, it gives you the courage. It empowers you. That's the best word I can think of.
You can learn how to clean a carburetor.
Yeah.
You can make $50, $100
an hour. And once you learn these little traits of life, these little life skills along the way, it's amazing. And all you granddads out there that taught your grandkids about this stuff, I commend you. I love you.
I'm a little different, too, because you should also teach your kids how to use like a pivot table in Excel.
A pivot table on it, Excel.
In a table that has data.
Spreadsheet stuff.
Spreadsheet. You can teach someone a pivot table.
I don't know what a pivot table is.
Some product. And also how to clean a small engine. 10 things you can teach people. They'll always have a job. The simple 10 simple things.
Yeah, well, critical thinking's part of it. And once again, communication. Actually, communication's, and I say this practically every Saturday, communication's key to success in life. If you don't know how to communicate, it won't work. And that skill alone is something we need to teach our kids too, how to communicate effectively and honestly.
You know,
without fear.
I got three kids, and there's one kid, our middle kid, we taught how to communicate one thing, and I wish that we spent more time communicating to the other two. The middle guy, and that's how to communicate the word help.
Yeah, help.
If we can teach people how to ask for help and not be afraid of asking for help, and understanding that help isn't weakness, it's I need something different than what I have.
Exactly.
And like, I know who I am and what I can do. I need help with an Excel spreadsheet, right?
Exactly. Right? Like, right?
You need help building a website for Put Tools in Schools. You need help putting a budget together.
Yeah.
Like, you're really good at this. Like, you're like, I'm really good at this thing, right? Terry is good at this. And I'm not good at these things, so I need your help to do it. And like, if we could teach our kids that, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to be perfect at everything. Help is a good, like, help me learn how to do this. Teach me.
I agree. I learned too late in life to ask for help because I was so self-sufficient, so independent, I felt like I could do everything. Now, that's not good necessarily. Mm-mm. But I have to say this because of what you just said. I am in total gratitude and totally grateful for all the help I've received the past year of my life. Because in 1 year, we've made such tremendous progress with Put Tools in Schools. And I am not. I might have done some leadership roles and management roles, but I couldn't have done it without the help.
You have got a group. You have got a good group of people.
Well, we've worked on it. And you know, we're good where we're at. We do need more people. We need more committees. We need people to get involved. There's a lot to do. It takes a village. And I appreciate everybody that stepped up and has jumped on board, literally on the board, and been there and helped in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so grateful because we made progress.
You have.
But we need to make more progress from the community. We need volunteers. We need help. We need money, donations, $5, $10, $20, just anything.
What does the money go towards?
You got a minute?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got 3 hours. Actually, 2 hours left.
No, actually, we're developing the toolbox mm-hmm. as a learning facility.
Yeah.
Not with curriculum. It's a connector. It's the idea invoker.
Yeah.
Or just the concepts.
It's the lab.
It's a lab. It's a working lab. It's a workshop. It's a place to learn and get to touch, to feel those tools. Woodworking, electrical. Now, in that shop, you say, what's the money for? We've got to have a dust collection system. We've got to have electrical upgrades because you can't run equipment without electrical. Mm-hmm. We're going to have welders. We're going to be teach basic cooking skills. Now, we've got to man this. Not man it necessarily, but we've got to, it. We've got to have people that are willing to come and teach people. And there's money. We're going to develop a mobility program. And all this is in progress, little by little. And the mobility program, we need a truck. We need a pickup truck or a box van.
I know where you can get a 1994 Ranger.
Okay. And we'll use that in Put Tools in Schools as a learning to aid. You know, but we need a vehicle. We need a box van and or a six, excuse me, I'm fumbling here, six by not six, an 8 by 16 foot trailer, tandem axle, to pull behind a pickup if we don't get a box van, or. But we've got to have a way of going into the community. We right now have events set up to work with West Boulevard Ministries where we're going to have about 25 kids, you know, that we're going to teach, all male,
all right.
25. And they're going to wind up, and I know it already, just like Jaquan. So we've got our work cut out for us on just working with these kids, just exposing them, engaging them.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got involved with that program. So the mobility program is all around that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to have a trailer stocked with tools and projects that we can go out in the community and eventually go into elementary schools, fifth grade, and present the tools, the trades.
It's about the right time.
In the fifth grade, just to plant the seeds. And then we're going to, that mobility program, too, can be, it's a smaller version of Put Tools in Schools Trades Career Days, mm-hmm. where we can go to a smaller group of community somewhere, be it a church, be it a social gathering, whatever, and present these tools and concepts to kids there. And young adults or older adults or groups, you know, it doesn't matter. But the mobility program is going to be around that, just going out into the community and being a part of other nonprofit events that we can be a part of those events, exposing kids and the community to the Put Tools in Schools concepts. And all we want to do is raise awareness.
Of course.
It's all it's about. It's all it's about. So what's the money for? We got to feed our presenters at these Trades Career Days that we keep going with, and those Trades Career Days. So we need money.
We need
money to and hopefully our ultimate goal is to have a full-time executive director get on salary.
I was asked you because I saw your budget. It's not a very big budget. Like you need to.
Year one.
Yeah, you need to raise more money.
Matter of fact, Thursday, coming up, we're having a finance budget committee meeting.
Good.
And we're going to revamp, and we're going after grants. Mm-hmm. My week is all around putting budgets together around the need, because you can't get grants unless you can tell people what we're going to spend the money on.
For sure.
So we're putting all that together, like you say, progress. But I couldn't do this unless I had help.
Well, you got good help now.
But when a guy comes up to you, Ray, what about those budgets? Where are we? he said, we got to get a budget meeting together. And I said, all right. So there's help motivating me.
Yeah.
Because it never stops on what you need.
Nope.
And these kids, once you put a tool in their hand, you can see a smile and lights go off and bells ring.
Oh, yeah.
You done spark something there. Man, that makes it all worth it. Really does. It's been a voyage. It's been a journey, but we're going to keep at it. And it's not easy because industry, well, I'll talk a little bit more about that. Then I'm going to get into Dwell Inc.
All right.
We need to talk about your business. We need to talk about what you're doing, because what you're doing is darn good.
Thank you.
Challenging.
Oh,
but great.
Yes, it is.
But great. So thanks. We'll talk more about that. Todd Chester's in the house, Dwell Inc. And we're just doing a little bit about Put Tools in Schools review, as I always do, because I'm just trying to wake people up. All kids should not, would not, will not go to college and use it effectively to give them purpose and happiness. They need other pathways. Let's give them a few. There are a bunch out there. Well, come on back. We'll talk about it. before the break there, I was telling a few challenges with industry getting involved with Put Tools in Schools events. Trades Career Days are, they're designed to go into a school, bring industry, electrical, HVAC, carpentry, welding, tile, surface products, concrete, masonry, whatever we can get there, and engage, set up and engage the kids with some sort of hands-on activities to put the concepts in their head through their hands and mind, interactive engagement. And we'll do that from about 8 o'clock in the morning to around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Well, that's 4, 5, 6 hours of their day. It's a big investment. I get that. And companies now, when everything we do is about money, 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 everything we do is about money to a detrimental point. And this is where it's at. The return on your investment, on that investment, I can't tell you how you're going to get it. But if we, the industry, we don't do this, and I've been a part of this now for going on 40 years, but longer than most, and I know a lot of people are tired of me talking about it. I don't care. Because, see, we have a big problem, and it's a we thing. Hey, man, I'm on my way out. I'm one of those, one that you're going to be losing pretty soon here, relatively speaking. Who's going to take my place? There's a lot of us that are leaving, not by choice, by life. So if we don't show up and change the image of what has been created around working with your hands and getting dirty, we're not going to make any progress. It's an image problem. They started cramming college down your throats in the mid-70s. Corporate America put its fist down and said, you will be college educated to work in America. Pretty much.
Changing a little bit, but.
And they marketed it through TV, movies, media, every which way, and they're still doing it today. And the trades became a coal pile. Now, if you don't know what a coal is the bricks you don't use, or the products that are bad and you can't use them, mm-hmm. like bricks.
Yep.
And the bricks they can't use that wasn't fired right or the color was wrong or whatever, they just make a pile. And they've done that to our students. And they continue to do it with our students. And it's wrong. There's no shame at all in the trades. And then we got educators that have become overeducated and they don't want their academic students to attend a trades career day. Yeah, I know. It's a shame, ain't it?
Sure is.
They say they don't need to go because they're college bound. I don't care if they're college bound. You may find Mrs. Academia over there that kind of likes a pair of side cutters on her hip. Side cutters are pliers that you cut wire with in an electrical field. She might see cutting tile or some dealing with surface over there, mosaics or whatever. Wow, I didn't know I could do this. And she may not want to go to college. Does it end her life? No. It just changes her pathway. That's all it does.
And I'm non-traditionalist. I went to college.
I know. And that's okay.
And I got great benefit from it. But I don't necessarily believe you got to go now.
Well, you know, to each his own. I'm saying is that we're talking about life skills, and industry must get involved with this if we're going to change the image and get employees and get labor. So what's the answer to the return on your investment? Time. The most valuable commodity we all have is time. And if we don't give our time, nothing's going to change. And I know it's a numbers game. I get it. We all in business to make money. But if we don't make this investment in our community, in our children, in our tomorrow, in our tomorrow's future, nothing will be accomplished.
And if you practicality of it is that our infrastructure is falling down around us, and so like if there's no one to continue to take care of our infrastructure,
and we're there
in the trades,
we're there.
It's upon us.
It is here. People say, "Well, in 5 years, no. It's here. It's here in abundance." I get calls about it every week. About people that say, well, Ray, where can I get some help? I laugh. The shelves are empty. There is none.
Well, and you got to pay them a fair rate.
Not only you got to pay them a fair rate, folks, but we've got to teach our kids how to use critical thinking, how to think, how to ask questions, how to be not afraid, and be riddled with fear. We're doing a lousy job, and we need to do better. But that's all I'm going to say about that today. I think I've said enough.
I bet you we'll say a few more things.
You think?
Probably.
Maybe. Let's go to Dwell Inc.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. When did you start this?
I started Dwell Inc. about a year and a half ago. Just over a year ago, I had a first member, homeowners. And it's a company that's predicated on a lot of the things that we're talking about, that it's too hard to own a house. Like, you either don't have the time, you don't have the know-how, or quite honestly, it just isn't something that you prioritize.
You take for granted, actually.
Some people don't want to get the foundation of their house on a regular basis. You should probably look at it every couple of years.
Absolutely. Intently.
And if you, we're an ignore culture. Like, we'll deal with whatever the issue is when it comes. So we apply the principles of corporate real estate. I used to work in corporate real estate. Took care of buildings all around the world.
Facilities maintenance.
Facilities, construction, maintenance, buy, sell. But conceptually, like, we manage groups of buildings as a portfolio. And so within that portfolio, you had assets. Like, a building would have an HVAC unit and different doors. And each one of those components within your house has a different maintenance requirement. Your elevator, right? They have very specific things with elevator. Like, you want to get an elevator that's maintained the right way. Escalators, HVAC. Some of them are for a safety issue. Some of them are for make sure it's cold in the building. If you have if you're going into a banking center, we want people banking there and it can't break. And so you maintain it to a different standard. And so conceptually, like, what if we took the same principles where we had a person that knew about buildings, assigned to your home, called a homemate. That homemate comes alongside of you and helps you determine how to take care of your house. And then when you have an issue, there's a button. We call it the do it button, not the honeydew, but the do it. It's like a work order. It's like, our faucet doesn't work. We need someone to come out.
Or dripping or whatever.
Right. The other day that happened, and it was a homeowner, a single woman. She was about 51 years old, and she knows every beautiful house. She knows everything about her house. She's always maintained it. And she just needed to know if she had to replace the faucet or not. And so, sure enough, you take the top out, the gasket that's embedded in the faucet.
Right.
Disintegrated.
Got one to fix Monday. So next week.
So it's a faucet. It's like, you can't replace the gasket. There's not a piece or a part you could do it. And she just needed to simply know that that's the case. She ordered one. It's coming on Monday. We'll fix it. And, like, could you find a new cartridge for that piece? Not anymore. Not for this one. We looked, you know. And so, it's just there's lots of things that we do to help homeowners. We make sure that they have a maintenance program for their whole year. Like, we clean the gutters in the fall and sure that we have the HVAC service that you're supposed to have in the spring and the fall. And that's a confusing one because a lot of HVAC people are telling you a lot of different things. But we do.
They do, don't they?
Yeah, like this.
It's
past,
all around their money.
This past summer, we got 4 or 5 calls, condensate lines. Condensate lines.
Number one call in the summer. I've talked about it a lot on the show.
And guess what? The HVAC companies don't do that in their spring service and in their fall service. And that condensate line has caused many a sleepless nights when it's hot. And a little bit of vinegar, and you're doing it on a regular basis, and you're not going to have that issue.
That's what I tell people all the time. That's one of the very – you need to know where your main disconnect is for electrical, gas, water, and – what you just said.
Condensate line.
Your condensate line. If you have a central air conditioning, forced air, you've got a condensate drain coming out the bottom of your evaporator coil. And that will clog up. And I talk about it frequently during the summer months. It's the number one call, service call.
And if it's humid and it's pulling air and guck, and it pulls all that guck through, if it's been dry especially, then it pulls all of that stuff and it gets in your trap and... it's not easy to get in there. Usually underneath the house or up in your attic.
Right, but you need to know it's there. You need to know, and then you have a pump in certain crawl spaces.
You do.
The condensate drain pump. It's a little
box
trough, yep. Little box with a little pump in it. You know, well, sometimes they don't work. Well, you don't know it because, oh, here we go again. Remember I told you to get your crawl space inspected about once a year? This is why you do it. This is why you do it, because you've got all these components under your house, and all you encapsulated crawl space people, just because you encapsulated crawl space, oh, I don't have to go back up under there anymore. Wrong.
So that's what we do, Ray. So
that's what you do.
That's what we do. We a homemade.
You're doing all that I'm talking about.
We do. So in the spring and or
your home
once a year, we're going into the attic. Once a year, we're going underneath the house.
Your home inspection company at your disposal. Not only will they look at it, they'll fix what they see when they're up there after you know about it.
And well, I won't call it an inspection, because inspection is a separate thing in the state.
But what I'm saying is
we take a look
there.
At it.
Sure.
And we determine.
Well, that's inspection.
But there is a law in the United
a law
in North Carolina.
Another rule.
If you call yourself an inspector, you can't charge for services.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. We assess. We show you what the challenge is. We give you an opportunity to fix it. And we fix it.
Play on words here. But you can't be an inspector.
No, we do a home assessment.
Home assessment. Okay.
Home assessment.
I gotcha.
No, okay. And by the way, that I think it's a good thing, because home inspectors have a specific role, and they work extreme. Like they have a great. It's a cause a lot of issues sometimes. But
I agree.
We are not them.
Yeah,
we are not.
I talked to my buddy Preston Sandlin yesterday. He's a inspector.
Yep.
Anyway, but I appreciate you sharing that play on words with me. Yeah. But right now, I got to talk to my brother Keith Olson.
Do it. Hi, Keith.
Keith Olson. Good morning, sir. How are you? Keith Olson. No, I can't hear you, big guy, wherever you're at. I hear you now. Talk to me.
All right, there you go. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, Keith. Thank you. Folks, this is Keith Olson, the shop carpentry instructor. I call it shop, but we'll call it carpentry instructor. What's your official title, Mr. Olson?
I just go by carpentry teacher. That one will work.
That works for me too, and a damn good one at that.
I appreciate that. Thank you,
man. We need more people like this man right here. As you've heard from students that he instructed and got them on their pathway of life, and done a darn good job. And I love you for doing it, Keith. But
I appreciate that.
He needs money, but he's got something to give you for money. Tell him about what you got out there, Keith.
So last year, so the way my program's structured. We have a couple different levels where the kids go through my program. Our intro class, the kids get to keep their project and building material. So with that being said, last year we built some deer blinds, and we built them a few years ago, and they sold like hotcakes. So I thought these ones would sell really, really quick, and for whatever reason, this year they haven't. So I've been looking to see if I can find some folks out there that are looking to buy some deer blinds. They're well built. They're built by my kids. They measure 7 foot by 7, and I've got them built in a way where not penalized. So I'm sitting in the smack. I've got the floor joists all pre-cut, so those get assembled. I've got 3/4 inch plywood that's pre-cut that goes right on top of that. You screw that down. I've got the 4 walls pre-built, and they just go right in place and just get some screws in the corner. And then I've got the roof panel built to where it sits on the top place of the walls itself and gives you a 212 pitch. So there's a little to it. I've got pre-cut roof sheathing. It goes right on top of that. I've got pre-cut metal roofing. It goes right on top of that. And then I've got deer view glass window.
I'm losing. You're in and out, Keith. If you're walking, try to stay still.
All right. Can you hear me there?
Got you now. Keep talking.
All right. I'll stay put right there. If you caught all that, but they are they're built to be panelized. So I think one of the challenges with deer blinds is when people buy them, being able to move a big structure like that and get it in the woods up in the air. So I built it in a way that they could be taken out to the woods on a trailer and easily assembled out in the woods. So I've got one standing in my own hunting property. I did the plan and built a prototype mice out. So, yeah, they're a great blind. So if anybody out there is looking for a blind, I've got some. I've got them at $900, and that's the best basically what I've got in materials in them. I think the challenging part for things like this for me is being able to sell something where you have mass production going on, right? Because in the mass production reducing world, they can get the materials significantly cheaper than me. So that's, you know, I think that's always going to be the challenge for my program, is being able to build things that can be sold to the public when you're competing against, you know, people who are mass producing things, getting their plywood or studs or what have you at half the cost of me. So anybody out there is open to buying a nice looking blind. Well, it functions really well out in the woods. I've got five of them sitting there.
How do they get in touch with you? Or how do they buy them?
So I sit on Marketplace right now. You could directly call me. I can give you my phone number right now. I'll give you all a second to grab a pen if you want. But I can be reached directly at 630-445-9881. Then, yeah, just give me a call. Like I said, they're sitting in my shop. And I had one get picked up the other day, and they brought a 5x8 trailer, and we just stacked up right on. It strapped it down and he was off. So they're pretty easy to move.
Awesome, Keith. I appreciate it. And I'll talk about it again before we go off the air today, okay?
Okay. I appreciate that.
And Keith, I thank you for all you're doing for the kids. And you know you're doing a great job, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We have we've got some good stuff going this year. I placed some kids last year in my partner company, and I've got it set up this year. I'm really excited to see how it's gonna go this year, because I've got some good partnerships coming in, so really starting to develop a good pipeline to get these kids out in the industry. And really, it's just, I say it to everybody, and it's simple as this: we got the kids and they got the jobs, and you know, it doesn't need to be a complicated thing. So there's plenty of openings out there for the kids, and we got plenty of kids. So you know, getting them into those jobs and getting them on a good path to a good future.
Thank you, Keith. I appreciate all you do, brother. And
we'll do.
You work with Joshua at Swinerton, right?
Yes, sir.
Great. That's a great partnership. Glad to hear it. All right.
Yep.
Super job. Thank you, Keith. Deer blinds, folks. Keith Olson, independent carpentry instructor, got deer blinds selling for $900. All these funds go back into the carpentry program. What's that number?
630-445-9881.
And if you need his number, you can call me. I happen to have it, and I'll be glad to pass it on. That's Keith Olson, the carpentry instructor at Independence High School right here in Charlotte-Mecklenburg. And one of the few carpentry programs left, so why don't we support them and figure it out and get these deer blinds sold. There's five of them, $900 a piece. They're made where you can load them on a trailer in panels and then just take them out in the woods on your trailer and set that puppy up. Awesome. Thank you again, Keith. All right, and he's gone. So I got in-house today Mr. Todd Chichester, talking about Dwell Inc. now and the services he renders. So bottom line is, if you get a client, a homeowner, and they kind of hire you, sign an agreement or whatever, tell us about how it works.
Sure. You become a member. As a member, you get we're managed home services. So the things that you need to be done.
But you're not an inspector.
We're not an inspector. we agree with you on a maintenance plan for your house, and we manage the delivery of those services. Anything from cleaning of your house to pressure washing and gutter cleaning to small renovations of a bathroom, or you know, change out a light fixture or do a kitchen. Like, those are the things that we will help on your behalf get accomplished. It's not easy, right? And so
it's getting harder.
We come alongside of you, and we are your trusted advisor, and we're there every month. We can't leave a job that's not you're not happy with. We have to make sure it's okay.
Gotcha. Dwell Inc.com. Go on and check them out. We're talking to Todd Chichester at Dwell Inc., and we'll talk more with him and much more right here on About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Share it with your friends, your buddies. Every Saturday morning, 8 to 11. Not a bad way to start your weekend. So come back. We'll be here. More About Your House coming your way. Waiting for my car to pull away. Just
crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. I knew you'd love me as long as you wanted, and then someday you'd leave me for somebody new. Worry, why do I let myself worry? Wondering what in the crazy.
I bet you can't believe that song was popular back in 1961 by Patsy Cline. That goes way back. Rich and sitting here never heard the song before. history, it's amazing, you know. It's something. I tell you. Old songs, great music. Love it. All right. About your house, talking to Todd Chester in your house. And Dwell Inc., what's Dwell Inc. all about? And I'm going to read something off the website, and it's kind of unique, and I love it. But the mission here, the mission and the objective here is to help you with your home. Because when you own a house, it's a perpetual maintenance issue. It never stops. There's always something. There's always something to do, always something to fix. Unless you're up and at it every day. But the secret weapon behind the Dwell Inc. concept is the Dwell Inc. Do It button. Introducing the Do It button in the Dwell Inc. app. So you download your app. Your magic wand for home maintenance. A single tap unleashes a world of home improvement possibilities. Picture this. A big windstorm just came through the area, leaving limbs and debris that need to be cleaned up. That same weekend, your garbage disposal stopped working. The bathroom railing fell off, and the TV you bought still sitting in the box on the floor. Don't get overwhelmed. Just open the Dwell Inc. app, and there it is, the glorious Do It button. With a confident press, you can submit a request for your homemate to come to your home and take care of all those items for you. Your home maintenance challenges don't stand a chance. The Do It button isn't just about convenience. It's about reclaiming your time and sanity. So go ahead, enhance the power of the Do It button. Become a master of your domain with a simple tap. Your home maintenance challenges don't stand a chance. So that's the Do It button. I just read your Do It button.
All right.
Yeah, and it's that easy?
That easy.
Talk to the mic.
It's that easy. Comes directly to us, then we come out, we put a team together. Kevin's joined us. Kevin's one of the homemates that comes out.
Say your last name.
Muir.
Muir. I did that for Axel. No, actually I did it for Riston. Riston needed to know. Kevin Muir, who I met... What, 6 months ago?
Yeah, I think something.
8 months ago? Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, I met Kevin. Well, talking about mentoring and what have you. I met Kevin through a friend that knew of Kevin, and Kevin was kind of lost. He wasn't lost. He was just...
In the process of being found.
Well... Yeah. So I met Kevin. We had a talk about, you know, what he really wanted to do, and... who he wanted to be, and just talking to him, he's very knowledgeable about people. Got a great diverse background. Once we got talking, the boy's been out there done. Good God, you've done a lot of stuff, and through that stuff, He's had a lot of opportunity to, and I used him to gauge other things because of his age, 44.
45 now.
45. No, he had a birthday. Had a birthday. Okay. But, you know, after talking to Kevin, I just realized he might be a good fit for because of his attitude, because of his background, because of his attitude. Had an attitude and a will to help, to have purpose, to serve, really. Wasn't that it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much. And, you know, and that, can you talk about serving a little bit and what it's meant to you? Because you're no different. And Kevin, I use Kevin as an example of a lot of 40-year-old men that are, we talk about it with F3 here, came on the show, the F3 men's group. A lot of men are kind of confused, misled, confused, misdirected, kind of messed up.
Yeah, I would agree. It's easy to get beat up by the world and get lost. And finding my passion and my heart as far as service and what it means and redefining it for me, it ended up just being a lot simpler than I realized. You know, serving is just something, it's just the way I can give from the heart and the way I can live within my heart. And just, you know, being a man, that's what your purpose is in life, is to serve others, serve your community, serve your loved ones. And that's, I feel like as a man, that's how you give, you know, and that's the physical manifestation of love. So it's essential. And it really came down to being quite simple after a lot of runaround trying to figure life out.
But I told Kevin to reach out to Todd here because I just felt like there was something there.
There absolutely was. I think one of the things that we strive to do and be at Dwelling and is to first of all build authentically ourselves first, like bring our whole selves to
real people.
Mm. And we're a group of people that just love to care for other people, and so that's the trades, that's the service industry. It's, you know, and there's a whole group of people that's what we want to do. We want to care for other people. And so for Dwelling, it translates into like caring for them in their house. Like their home is the most intimate place for them a lot of times. And so we want to bring people along. And so you were absolutely right. And I was so grateful that you connected me with Kevin. It's like he brings a heart and it aligns to his overall purpose. Dwelling may not be his purpose and mission, but like working with Dwelling, I see him caring for other people, and it's fun. It's a joy for me to watch.
Notice in the conversation, it's not about the money necessarily. Although everything is about the money, we all need money to survive and pay the bills and coexist in this culture we live in, this vast money pit called life. And yeah, it's money connected, but in reality, and I tell people this all the time, if you're working a job every day and your main objective is money, you're not a happy person. You're really not a happy person. And I know this because I sure have talked to a lot of unhappy people in my life that are in jobs. They're there because of the money. And unfortunately, in today's world, it takes more money than it's ever taken. It's harder to make it than it's ever been, ever.
I think I talk about this with my friend a lot, and I think Kevin would agree. I'd love your opinions, but like, there's a threshold of money that, you know, like there's money doesn't make you happy. Like having money doesn't make you happy, but not having money, there's a threshold in what you need for your essentials and the way you live.
Absolutely,
and it gets really stressful for a lot of people when you're not there, and so. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the trade service industry that have danced on that line for a long time, and I'm going through that right now. Kevin's going through that. Like,
we're all going through it
with the idea that like it's expensive to do what we're doing, and ultimately, we're worth every penny that you're going to spend when we come out and take care of something for you. And it's that fine balance. But to your point, purpose, cause, mission, if you're not aligned into that, no matter what you do every day, you're not gonna be happy.
Well, it's like if you don't give, you ain't getting nothing. You know, that's just the law of nature.
And you have to give without that expectation either. You can't give, you know, being results-oriented of what you're going to get. You have to give because this is what your purpose is, just what you're doing.
Right,
you know,
right,
right. And then your reasons and how you feel authentic about it is your own, but it has to be kind of unconditional, like love.
That's exactly my follow-up to what you just said. It's just like unconditional love, which, unfortunately, we're detached from.
Mm-hmm.
We've become detached from what is unconditional love. What the heck does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people hear the word and they get uncomfortable, as if, you know, it's like, oh, it's inappropriate for men to say, oh, I love you to another man.
Right.
And it's not.
Yeah.
Not, you know, and it's just about, you know, your fellow man, like, you know, and I say man as in human being.
I understand.
Yeah.
I got it. Well, that was part of our connection, Kevin, because when we talked first time, I got that in you immediately, that you love, and I'm a lover, and the reason I do everything I do is to love, and it might not sound like it sometimes, but that's the tough love.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I told Jaquan, I said, I'm going to yell at you. He says, yep, you need to.
And just he can like, admit it. He's humble like enough you. To admit
remember
it as young
hole?
As he is.
Remember the hole that you messed up?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You'll never forget that hole, will you?
No.
Well, maybe.
Well, my mistakes,
yeah, but
those
see,
are lifelong
I
lessons.
I cut this pretty hole. It was a pretty hole. Perfect hole.
Yeah,
perfect. It was absolutely a perfect hole. Perfectly placed, and I put the hole on the wall. It's through the drywall. Then I told Kevin, you're going to go to the other side and cut the hole on the other side. Well, now, that wasn't as easy as the hole I cut. But I knew that. I knew that because he was going to cementous, fiberboard, hardy plank, whatever you want to call it. Plus, a 2x10, I think it was, or something. But anyway, some structure. No, it was OSB, excuse me. But anyway, but he had never, honestly, he had never yielded a sawzall in that way.
Not at that height through that material.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I know, and that blade will carry. Just the what you're cutting through will carry, make that blade. Okay. And if I go out there and his blade done went through the wall and cut my hole and not back, messed it all up, I'd yell real loud, "Cause stop!"
did you get it all figured out?
Oh, we fixed it.
Of course
yeah.
you did.
Oh, yeah.
No, but he learned about 20 that day, too, because, see, I had to do drywall repair.
Yeah.
So I went to the truck. The challenge of any job is being prepared when you go out, right?
Absolutely.
And we were prepared. So we left that day. The drywall was fixed. You learned about 20. So it was a very, very beneficial day. He learned.
Mm-hmm.
He learned.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what we're there for, right?
Yeah, and that's the most memorable part. That's actually what I get a little bit of joy out of.
Yeah.
Is just repairing a mistake.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll come back with more stories right after this, talking to Kevin Muir and Todd Chedister, both from Dwell Inc., and what they do and how they can do it and what they'll do for you. So come on back. We'll talk about it.
Burning on the ground, another statue coming down in a town near. Watching the threads of old glory come undone. Am I the only one not brainwashed? Making my way through the land of the lost, who sees it as it is and worries about his kids as they try to undo all the things he did.
Grab another cup of coffee and join us for hour three as Todd Chedister and Kevin Muir of Dwell Inc., who's just stopped by in studio. They'll tell us more about Dwell Inc., so stick around. You'll also learn a little bit more about their stories. About Your House is brought to you in part by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to the tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. We'll share our knowledge and provide encouragement to improve not just your home, but every aspect of life. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
older I get, the more I think. You only get a minute, better live while you're in it, 'cause it's gone in a blink. And the older I get, the truer it is. It's the people you love, not the money and stuff, makes you rich. And if they found a fountain of youth, I wouldn't drink a drop, and that's the truth. Funny how it feels, I'm just getting to my best years yet. The older I get, the fewer friends I have. But you don't need a lot when the ones that you've got have always got your back. And the older I get, the better I am. And knowing when to give and when to just not.
All right, welcome back. Kevin Muir and Todd Chester, both from Dwell Inc., talking about, well, passion, love for what you do. Now, I ask you, Kevin, how long y'all been playing together?
About a month now, right?
A month or two.
Yeah. A month and a half, too.
Yeah. About a month. How's it going?
We talked about, I think when we first spoke, 15, 20 minutes, and then I could hear his heart through his voice, and I think he felt the same way, and he sent me his address and came on. I'm like, let's talk in person. And,
right.
And it's been history since then. And
do you like it?
I love it, actually.
What do you – oh, I love to hear that. I love it. Woo.
Well, that's good.
That's great, because you're feeling
What I love is just, yeah, I feel like a part of something. I don't feel like a cog in a machine, you know?
You don't feel like a number.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like a person. I feel like I can be myself. I can express this, express that, express doubt even, you know? I can be genuine and authentic and... you know, and we can be not just, you know, confident in all this, but we can be vulnerable too, and that's a part of being real. It's finding that balance. And,
right. And you don't BS a lot.
It's easy to.
Yeah, because you're a man. That's what we do well. Yeah. Just tell them what they think you want, what you think they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, can't do that.
Oh, I know that.
And that's real easy to do. Go there, and you're not being authentic because you're like, you want to put on this facade. But when you drop all those defenses and just come from the heart, and like you say all the time, shoot from the hip. And for me, that's like talking from the heart.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
There's going to
be real.
Things that aren't unsavory, but you're going to be authentic.
Right.
So, and that's, I don't know, I need that.
One of the biggest problems we face as homeowners anywhere, especially today, is who do you believe and what do you believe? Because there's a lot of lying going on out there. I'm not reflecting to you guys at all, but I'm saying this is somewhat of a savior from that big rat race that's out there. That you have companies that are literally marketing machines.
Yes.
They're marketing machines. They're coming out there to get what they can get from your back pocket. I hate saying that. But unfortunately, you know, this isn't me talking again. Do your research. Mike Rowe, I listened to probably 4 hours of Mike Rowe this week, along with some other guests in the industry and what have you, just kind of catching up, things I thought I knew, and sure enough, it's right where I thought it was. And, you know, we're just living in a time where they're teaching kids how to sell, technicians how to sell, not how to be a better technician. But how to sell better,
yeah.
To add to the bottom line. Look, once again, I realize we're in business to make money, but not take money. Mm. Now, I've had a lot of argument, and I have angered a lot of people, business owners, by talking and speaking the way I do about this. But that's just the breaks. Get over it, because as long as you rip off people. When you go out and put a capacitor in, and you charge them $500 to put a capacitor in, a AC unit, that's just highway robbery.
Yeah, agreed.
But it's going on every day.
It's bad. I think that that's what we try to help, right?
Well, that's the whole concept behind Dwell Inc. and what they do. You know, it's almost like your own private consultant.
It is, and it's hard because you do have to make money, and we have had we've struggled to make money for this reason. We want to be fair for the homeowner, and we need to charge the right price. And when you're doing managed services, we're negotiating a discount here, and it's a challenge.
It is,
but like the things that make me the most happy are when a homeowner calls and says, do you know an electrician? And we're like, well, what's the problem? And like, there's a GFI behind your thing in the kitchen. Hit that button. And like, we just saved you $200. You don't have to call an electrician.
Right.
We don't have to bring an electrician out. We enabled you to push a button where we knew where it was because we knew where it was in your house to do that. Or when
the disposer doesn't work, not disposer, when the dishwasher doesn't work, say, is your switch on?
Yep. And but we had an HVAC, one of the big brand HVAC companies was the servicing HVAC company for one of our members. And they're like, you need a $17,000 replacement. And he's like, it just didn't jive with him. He's in corporate real estate, so he knows everything about this stuff. But the residential side of it, we brought two people out, did the tests. It was a $350 fix. That furnace is going to be fine. And it wasn't because Dwelling said it. It's because we brought people out that we trust.
Right.
That are aligned like us. Like we, I believe fully at Dwelling. If you care about the outcome as much like for that homeowner, when it comes time to actually need to replace the HVAC, they're going to come to you. When you say to them, you know what, the motor's broken. Now we have to fix it. We can't do another year with it. Like it's an informed decision. Or you can say, I think it's this way. Like when we get in the wall, it might be something different.
Right.
And the conversation becomes one of trust, of like, let's solve the problem together. And it doesn't happen day one with members, and it does take time.
It's a relationship.
And money, like people don't like to spend money on the maintenance of their home. They don't like to do, they don't mind building, like putting a new bathroom in. They don't mind. But like cleaning trees up costs a lot of money, protects the house from getting fallen, but they don't cleaning your gutters, checking your foundation. They don't want to do the maintenance.
Let's stop a minute on gutters. We've used that word 3 or 4 times in the show already. Last Saturday, my buddy Andrew Cole was in the house talking about Songdog wildlife management. And the number one concern, one of the largest things he talked about And it's gutters.
It's where all the food is.
It's where food is.
It's where the rodents go. It's where the bugs go. Like if you, I tell you this, if half the people, if you had a video of the cockroaches in your gutters, you would clean your gutters regularly.
Well, you know, and most of your Smokey Brown's roaches come off trees anyway.
Yep.
And through the foliage and leaves and touching your roof, you want to clean all the limbs away from your roof. And right now is a good time, by the way. If you hadn't done that yet, let's just talk about trees, okay? Right now, you still got leaves. You still got foliage on your trees. Are they touching your house? Right now is a good time to make that judgment, make that call before leaves start to fall. Because all those leaves, have you ever thought about pruning your trees? You know, well, you need to if they're touching your house.
I had an ant problem for years and years and cleaned up some trees. No more ants. Imagine that.
Yeah.
It's
just a they're pathways.
It's a pathway.
It's your highway to heaven. Yeah. Your house.
But
gutters, same way.
And trees, I get it. In Charlotte, you got to be. Charlotte right now, trees, like if you're a tree guy in Charlotte.
It's the canopy. It's the tree city.
We have 100-year-old trees, and it's been over 100 years. They're falling everywhere. It's expensive. Kevin knows my house. I got trees on my house, and I don't have the $3,000 to do it right now. But I don't know if I have the $3,000 to wait. That's
right.
The thing about maintenance. Like, I didn't have X amount of money to deal with the original rot that I saw. Well, guess what? It ended up being $5,000 when I finally did deal with it.
Right. I hear you.
You can deal with it now or later.
Yeah. You know, there's two things in your life that require perpetual maintenance. Your automobile and your house.
Three things.
And your body. Okay, that's first good thing.
Yeah.
Your body, health, and wellness is top priority. And we talk about that. Speaking of that, October 12th, we're going to have Cammie Benton along with Bodie on the show talking about mental health and wellness and how you can get there quicker with a good, sane mind. So Bodie and Dr. Benton, Dr. Cammie Benton, be in house October 12th. Looking forward to it. They'll be here this time. I made sure their calendars were marked. I promise you. So that'll be a good show. And actually, I met Kevin here through Bodie, actually. And it's very interesting. Great show. I highly recommend. I got some great shows lined up coming on. Got a schedule. Calendar's kind of packed right now. Looking forward to it. Next Saturday, I'm going to have Philip Murph here. He is the executive director, CEO of the Lions Services. And he was scheduled to be on the show sometime back, but we rescheduled as we messed up on communicating. Like that, going back to that communication aspect, we didn't do too well, me included. But hey, we're all human and we screw up from time to time, you know, and we all make mistakes. Back to the maintenance aspect of owning a home.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about health and wellness. Oh, let me back up here a minute. I had a conversation this week again with my, you know, young student working with me, and he brought up insurance. And health insurance, and you know how we live in a world that, you know, the cash cows, you know, be it insurance, which mm-hmm. to me is a major cash cow, education, major cash cow, all these rules and regs that you got to have this, you got to have that, right? Well, if you're healthy and you maintain your health and well-being, do you need insurance?
Rarely. In my opinion, and I think it comes.
But that way of thought there, you're thinking, oh, I can tell Todd said, well, what if? But what if?
I'm in the middle of it right now.
Well, I know. That's kind of why we're all in the middle of it.
But here's how you can determine whether you do for yourself is that you look at what you paid in your premiums.
Yeah.
See what the benefit was.
Yeah.
And see if you just paid for it yourself.
Yeah.
And then you can tell me if it.
Right.
I spent this past year, I think, $10,000 on the insurance portion of it.
Right.
And it covered $1,500. So, and then I had another $2,000 or $3,000 that wasn't covered by insurance that I had to pay. So I think that the answer to me for this year would have been like, just pay for it out of pocket and not have insurance. However, I do have some medical things that I need to take care of. And if I am in the hospital for 2 days... for any reason, I lose my house, my business, like 2, 3, 4 days. If you don't have insurance, then
see, that's what our medical arena has turned into, a major cash cow. The largest cash cow in America today.
Well, it's the objective is switch to profit rather than results.
Money. Exactly.
Well, so, I'll tell you, they're parallels. So I have the person that helped us build this app. His wife's a dentist, and she's like, there's people come in all day, every day, and they say, whiten my teeth. And then she's like, you need a root canal. Like, you need to do the foundation of your teeth. Mm-hmm. Like, no, make them white. Like,
want them pretty.
Make me look pretty.
I want them pretty.
It's akin to saying, I want a Sub-Zero refrigerator.
I want a pretty refrigerator.
But you need to reinforce your floor first.
Right.
Because your floor can't hold that Sub-Zero.
Right.
You got to do the maintenance part of it. Like, just put the Sub-Zero
there. It's like
putting
a granite island in a kitchen
or painting your wall and not getting out the rot first.
Pretty.
And so, like, so many people have a house that, like, they're renovating parts of their house where the other part of their house is in desperate need of just a regular maintenance. I do the same thing. Is there something about the condition of humans that does this? I don't think it's. Mm. I think the
no,
condition.
No, you're right.
I don't want to check the foundation on my house. I don't want anyone telling me my foundation's bad. I'll fix it when it comes. I don't want to go to the dentist and get like my teeth and like we do, but like most people don't. I don't want to get a routine physical. And then the health industry has not addressed the fact that like. You wouldn't have to be here, sir, if you lost 100 pounds. Like your diabetes, your
health—it's
all preventative maintenance.
It's all PM. It's like
the house.
I haven't had a Now, I know we're off on a tangent.
You know,
here.
This is about houses, though.
it's the same thing. Yeah. You know, I love me some Bojangles steak and egg biscuits.
Of course.
You know how long it's been since I've had one?
Yesterday morning.
5 years. Oh. No, 5 years. And I wanted one today. And I don't know why I wanted one. Did I stop and get one? No. My point, discipline. Health is about discipline. And how to not eat or eat a balanced diet and stay healthy. I work hard at staying healthy because with my health, I can be here every week. Mm-hmm. With good health, I can help you. I can help you. I can help him. I can serve. But if I'm sick, we can't.
Yeah, nothing else is going to matter.
And how do you stay well? That's first and foremost in my life. First, like you said earlier, then your house. Because if your house doesn't protect you, you can't have that, can you? And then you got to get stress. The number one cause for any ailment now is stress. He's running me out. Can you tell? I got to take a break here. We'll be back on the other side. Talk to more about Dwell Inc. And about keeping your house healthy. It's all the same. It's just working at it a different avenue.
But asking that, using that word help, too.
Help. You got it.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Don't know much about geography. Don't know much trigonometry.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to About Your House. Fox Sports Charlotte, download the free app, stream us live. By far the best way to hear us, and we are on Facebook Live right now. How y'all doing? And YouTube Live. Every Saturday morning, tune in, turn on. I'll talk about that in a minute. I wanted to bring something up. I'll do it in the next break. We're talking to Dwell Inc., and let's get back on track to houses. Since you've been doing this, is there any one issue that pops up all the time with homes? I'm just curious. Other than gutters.
Gutters is the biggest one.
Gutters
because it connects to the pest control, it connects to the rodent control, it connects to
water
foundation,
damage, foundation
and runoff, and so that has to get right. There's so much.
ABS insulating. ABS Insulating, one of our sponsors, has a whole gutter division. Mm-hmm. And they will come out, clean your gutter, adjust your gutters, put new gutters on, put your gutter protection system on. Whatever you need around gutters, ABS Insulating can handle it. And they're a great company. And they've got great people working with gutters in that division. And it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. Gutters aren't that expensive to maintain and take care of. They're a lot less expensive than your plumbing, than your electrical, than your HVAC.
And they can be very costly if you don't.
They can add more cost than all the others put together.
With foundation issues, and yes, for sure. So we get consistently, the gutter is the biggest thing, a general clean. I think the routine maintenance of things is something that's lost on people. Like if you routinely do your irrigation and you have a kind of a rigor by which you look at it in the spring, you look at it in the fall, and you winterize it in the winter. Like if you have a rigor, if you have the people coming out for your gutters every December 15th, most people don't have that.
Andrew Cole said he in Charlotte you need to do it twice a year minimum.
Oh,
twice
yeah.
a year.
I would do it after the pollen season, too.
Yeah, and he said maybe three times for some people, just depending on where the house is.
The trees are. So yeah, we get a lot of different requests. You know, a lot of small handyman things, change out a light fixture.
Probably most common.
Well, light fixtures replacement.
Yeah, switching them out, whatever, putting them in.
And the cool thing is like there's lots of little things that people don't want to get done, because having one person come out at a time doesn't work. We come out and do five or six things at once. Hang curtains and, you know, put pictures.
You hang curtains?
Oh, we do it all.
Not just that, but get it real plumb and,
you know, oh, yeah.
Get in the line and, like, that's, get a little joy out of that.
Right. Well, there's a little challenge to it. You know, some people through the years ask me, you know, what do you do? I says, what do you want me to do? Well, what all do you do? What all do you want me to do?
Right.
And that was been my answer, you know, like hanging curtains. And I hung curtains. Ray, I didn't know you hung curtains. Sure, I hang curtains. And you hang pictures. Oh, big pictures. I had to hang a mirror on a wall uptown that was, they called me because they couldn't just hang the picture, you know, it had to be in structural. It wasn't a picture, it was a mirror and framed. Yeah. Old mirror. My brother called me and said, we got something to do. I said, what? He took a picture of the mirror and he said, we got to hang this sucker.
Yeah.
I said, oh, boy. But anyway, those things, I didn't know you hung pictures. Sure. Oh, sure. Sure, we hang pictures. We know where to hang them.
Well, that's the thing about
that's funny how many people know.
They don't know where to hang them. That's too, that picture won't go there. What do you mean? It's too big. It's too high. You don't ever hang a picture higher than now. You can hang it where you want. It's your house.
Right. Yeah, we're not designers.
But see, that picture should never be above a door frame. Typically, you know. And I've, you know, through the years, and I've known decorators. But y'all do that too.
Sure. We're not the decorators.
Well, I understand.
But when the
decorators come, that's when I leave.
But I understand the aesthetics and the basic need of, like, okay, this is, you know, like, for example, we're in the home a couple weeks ago. We saw the whole house the way it was designed. Everything was symmetrical. Everything was in line. Didn't have to ask her if she wanted this, how she wanted it.
The OCD just kind of stood out.
Yeah, you could kind of tell. Like, when I walk in, this is how they want it.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. The house told you.
Yes.
Because she lived in it, mm-hmm. and that was her.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when you walk in the house, white carpet, mirror, glass tables, and mirrors on the walls. I said, oh, dear, we have some OCD going on here. Yeah. Yeah. It glares at you, boy. What do you mean? What do I mean? Look. Yeah. It's crazy. But houses do reflect a lot of that personality, sure. Don't they?
Some of it doesn't. Sometimes you meet someone and their house doesn't make any sense. Like, that's not. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But sometimes it's like completely aligned to your character.
Right. Well, a lot of times it is.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Especially with the OCD people.
Yeah, and you can kind of see, you know,
okay.
where they're at mentally too by how organized their environment is. Mm-hmm. Just like a Shaolin master would be, or a Zen master. You know, their room is simple, clean, immaculate, and, you know, clear. Just
right.
Like they try to reflect in their mind. And,
mm-hmm. Right.
And you see that in a lot of people play out. And you can see when someone's in disarray.
So you're loving your job.
Yes, I am. I wanted to say a while back, that's one of the first things that really attracted me to a Dwellink, is that it's not just about turning a profit or making money, but it's helping people in to be helped.
You doing know, like, unto others as you would
yeah,
have them do
like,
unto
like, you know,
you.
Instead of, you know, you have trouble, your AC's not working, you know it's a little part, it just has to be diagnosed, but they're trying to upsell you, and you just get a bad taste in your mouth. You're almost like, I don't even want to deal with this just because I'm so put off by, you know, I'm pretty much paying money to get this handled, and I'm almost self-loathing it because I'm like, oh, I'm paying off the responsibility, and I just want to know it and do it. But when somebody helps you like that, that's more invaluable than the $300 you would have spent. You know, somebody would have showed you something like that. And that's what I like doing, sharing my experience for other people. And that's how I like to help.
Right. Absolutely. You spoke of irrigation systems. Do you have a good irrigation company?
We are always looking for partners that kind of embody the same things as us. We've had a couple.
I know what challenges you're up against. That's why I ask.
Actually, I was talking to Kevin the other day. I was like, do you know much about irrigation systems? Because they're very simple.
Oh, they're simple.
They're very simple. And once you've learned how to do it and where to dig and how to diagnose them, that's like, it's...
Actually, irrigation's very simple.
Yeah.
But yet, it's kind of one of those things that's out of sight, out of mind, and people don't worry about it or even know about it. Mm-hmm. And how that that goes into the gutter department handling water.
Well, I mean, here's what I've learned is when we do a total managed service for a home, you can do one thing right, and then you do the other thing, and it's complete. Like, so when you manage someone's outside of their house, you put a if you put a source, a fence to be built in, and then they might actually hit the wire for the irrigation system. And then your landscaper may hit the irrigation and knock it because they're two different people, the irrigation people. So, like, you constantly have to balance the irrigation system that's, like, watering the seed. That's not the lawn guy. The lawn guy's just there to mow it. And so there's a lot that you have to deal with.
Integration of trades.
And interdependencies of things.
Sure.
And as a homeowner, I don't know how they do it because, like, you get your irrigation system fixed. Lawn guy comes out, cuts it. Who? Like, then it's goes back and forth.
Constantly chasing something.
Yep.
And that's another reason I said to a lot of homeowners is cable location, underground locators. Mm-hmm. Early on in the process, when you move into a house, at some point you should know where all your underground services are: water, gas, electricity, whatever underground's feeding that house. You need to know where it's at as a homeowner.
I got one for you.
And I know you probably do this as, in your
sure
initial.
So, yeah, I live in a house, 1929, in our whole neighborhood. I'll ask you a question, Ray.
Money pit.
Who owns the water from the meter?
You do.
So anywhere from that meter to your house.
Yes, that's right.
You can buy insurance for that.
You can buy insurance for everything, Todd. You really can. Matter of fact, there's businesses out there, the money grabbers, that have insurance just to grab more money and give you make you feel like you're just sitting pretty in life, got greater peace of mind.
So I'll tell you, if you're living in Myers Park, Dilworth, Elizabeth, Plaza Midwood, and those pipes that are going up there are 70, 80 years old, you got to...
That ain't a bad deal.
That's not a bad deal. I know where you're going. And also, just know, like, there's... It's going to cost $3,000 to $4,000 to dig up that pipe, but it's just a pipe replacement.
And you don't have to dig that pipe up. You can leave it there and cut another trench. I did one last year. A guy over in Plaza Midwood on the duplex. He says, "Ray, are you up for putting new water line over on Roland?" I said, "Sure."
I went to Home Depot and I ran a mini excavator and did mine because it was about $300 versus $3,500. So
I know. See? And he told me what he got a price on. I said, "I'll come. We'll go rent a trencher, you know, just a little old trencher."
Yep.
And 2 hours later, we had a new water line run.
Sure he did.
And it was a lot cheaper than what he got a price on.
Sure it is.
And I enjoy stuff like that. Like yesterday, I'm going to share a story. May
Please
I?
Do.
Textured seedlings. Don't you love them? Yuck. Hate them. My buddy Gary Crump called me and says, "Ray, I got a friend that's got a water-damaged ceiling in her living room." I said, "Okay." Sent me some pictures. I says, "Lord of mercy." And he stiff-kneed it up with a couple boards, you know, to keep it up. So I went over there. And in that big, about, I don't know, a month or so back, we had a really, I'd call it big tornado, especially on the west side. Yeah, it was unbelievable. Well, she got a leak from that. So,
Gary, is the leak fixed?
I'm on my way.
First question you asked before you replaced the ceiling.
No, I said, that's what I did. Logistically, I looked at where it was, the leak in the living room. It's a little old 1,200, 1,400 square foot house, single story. And there's a roof break where the porch extended out, the porch roof. And I said, "There's a leak right there." I said, "The sheet metal's off. It's come off. And sheet metal's allowed. The flashing's not doing its job because that is taking on water right there." I said, "You got an 8-foot step?" And he said, "Yeah, I got one." So I said, "Go put it on the back of the house, and I'll get up on the roof and see what I can do." I fixed the leak that day. I was there to put the step. And I said, "We're going to leave the stiff knees under this thing for a couple weeks. And for it to dry out, and I have a moisture meter that'll tell you if it's dry or wet, because it was saturated." And so I said, "It'll dry out, but it'll dry out in place now that we got those stiff knees in there." So yesterday, I went over with my buddy Jaquan, and we started on the fix.
Right, right.
Well, we know the leak was fixed because we've had three or four big heavy rain since, and I took my moisture meter, checked the ceiling, dry as a bone. I mean, it didn't even show any water, any moisture. So I started screwing the drywall back to the joist, getting everything lined up, scraped the texture off in my designated places, patched the drywall with 20, three coats. Then I got my hopper gun, texture, mixed some texture, masked the area off, textured that ceiling, got it done. And now, how much would something like all that cost? They didn't call a roofer, to your point. They didn't have to call a roofer, didn't have to call anybody. And some people come out there and try to sell you a taking that drywall down, which is a complete, utter mess, because all that blown-in insulation in your attic will be in your living room. But we didn't have to do that.
Yep. But and I would also say, that's expensive fix. If someone drives out there, fix the roof, does that, like, you should spend money for that. Like,
but that would, you know,
you should have the peace of mind that it's fixed, that the mold's going to be gone, that the ceiling is...
Well, the mold's gone when the water's gone.
And from my experience, it's not done in one trip. It's not, you know, I have to come... Like,
well,
you
said, didn't, too.
Yeah, like you said, but you had to come back and wait for it to dry.
I had to wait for it to dry, then I came back, and we did that, and I'm so proud of myself, because it looked damn good.
I bet, yeah.
Man, when I finished texturing, I said, look at that, look. Yeah, it looks great. But, to get that, to get the knowledge, the experience, and all of that, what's that worth? My point is, how do we teach that? How do we teach what to do? How to do and get to where we need to be? We're not teaching that. And what's that worth? You can't put a figure on that, can you? I mean, really. Now, I did all that work, and, you know, and I know I did it very cheaply, but I did it because, one, I wanted to. And it was a teaching element. But I charged that lady $300.
Wow, that's a deal.
You damn right it's a deal.
That's a hell of a deal.
That gum, I mean. But the point is, it's done right.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't have to take the ceiling down, make a mess, because that would have been, ooh. I didn't want
to. It would have been more inconvenience for her to move all the furniture,
horrible.
Clean, not live in it,
horrible.
Time in between.
Yeah. That knowledge is powerful.
It is.
And that's what we're out to achieve and what we do as service companies. And, you know, and we communicated as well, letting her know when, how, and what. That's what you do, too.
I want to show you a video. It's 12 seconds.
12-second video?
Yeah, look at it. So what I'm showing, what do you think is that? Isn't that light fixture right there?
Water. There's water in that light fixture. It's leaking down through the fixture.
It was
leaking that before.
It was full. That thing is full.
A globe.
Full of water. Every single day they turn on the light. The light came on every single day. That light was on.
I saw it. That's amazing. Where's the water come from?
See, it was the roof. They had a
roof
leak. Flashing that went down, made its way.
Wow.
So... that person ignored the fact that their light fixture turned green from the slime. There was water
algae.
In a bowl, in a large fishbowl of water.
Wow.
That makes the weight of that
didn't break. Yeah,
didn't do so.
So we carried it like this. You could have put a fish in there. It was that the kids turned it on and off. I was like, I'm so glad we got this now.
And didn't damage the drywall or plaster or whatever?
Oh, it did. We had to replace the drywall. Yeah, it was completely saturated.
Gotcha.
Yep. But I'm glad we got it. No one was hurt.
Oh, yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
Lots of stories we could share. Well, I could share. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it definitely brought up some experiences and examples I had. The inconvenience of waiting for insurance, because, like, you pay the money, they're going to take care of it, but you're still at their mercy of their timing. And
when?
The homeowner has to wait on their convenience, and when they come around, it's just like, you know, you're paying all this, you're shrugging off those responsibilities just because you don't know this little aspect. But you're giving up so much of your power, so much of your possibility, where it's like, you know, if you did have someone that, like that come in, like how you did for them,
right.
Save them $3,000, you know, and it's way more convenient, way more peace of mind, something they could trust. And then especially like where you show the homeowner how to do it themselves.
Right.
And you teach them that and you give them the power. That's invaluable.
Empowering, yeah. I say it all the time. That's what I want to give to kids.
Yeah.
It's what I want to give to you, Kevin.
Yeah, I agree.
Wanted you to feel
it. That's what I want to do for others.
And you're feeling
others.
It. Yeah, and now he's feeling it.
Yeah, that's what I want to do for others. Like, I love when people ask me for car advice or home advice, whatever. And it's something that I've come across
and
experienced. And I can, like, save them a bunch of money. And it's not about the money. It's just about
helping
that they
people.
Can take it on themselves then and deal with the situation and carry it with them.
And that's what we try, not try, that's what we do on this show every Saturday, is try to give listeners just the fearless attitude.
Yes, even if you don't
fearless.
Know.
Even if you don't know, go try it.
Yep.
Go buy a tool. Don't buy the most expensive.
No.
I told Kevin, he didn't have no tools to speak of. I said, don't go out here and try to buy all new DeWalt's and all this. Well, that's what I need. Yeah, you do. But nobody needs to start there necessarily, you know, especially homeowners. Mm. They got a Harbor Freight store, three of them in this area somewhere, I think. I know of two.
There's.
But Harbor Freight's a great, great do-it-yourself homeowner store for tools.
Especially for one-off projects.
Absolutely.
You know, like a $20 drill does just as good as that $300 DeWalt.
Right.
You know?
Right. It can do the job very well. Their Bauer brand's exceptional. And there's another tool. I got to cover this real quick. There's another tool that I talk negatively about sometimes that's absolutely essential in day-to-day life. And I've learned that because of the position I'm in now teaching. What tool am I talking about?
Your brain, communication. You talk about all kinds
computer.
Of stuff.
Computer.
You got to have a laptop.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to have a laptop. You asked me earlier, what's the money for? We want three computers.
Mm-hmm.
Three, minimum. Now, we've got some used ones donated, but we'd like to be top drawer. And what's the money for put tools in schools? Computers.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of teaching to do.
Ironic, isn't it?
Yeah. A lot of teachers.
It's the beauty of the irony. You need it. You need the computer.
My dad,
who was a woodshop teacher that had to go teach, it all comes full circle. It all works together.
Right. It's like Kevin. Kevin was over at the shop, over at Toolbox, putting our marketplace stuff in. Well, and he's using my computer. I can't use it.
Of course you can.
No, I can't. No.
You'll learn.
No, I
we'll
won't.
Teach you.
He'll get his own damn computer.
he can do it.
But that's okay. That's the point.
Yeah.
You know, that we need it. And we talked about it, you and I, how you need, everyone has got to have some technology.
Mm-hmm.
And like Jaquan, he uses his cell phone for everything. But there again, it's hard to coexist in the culture we live today without technology. Not hard, impossible. Impossible. Damn near. I talked to a guy yesterday at the tire store. He said, man, I want to get off the grid so bad I can't stand it. I said, every day it's a new rule, a new challenge. I said, man, it's not getting any better, is it? He laughed at me. He said, no. And he was one of the guys at the store manager.
Yeah, yeah.
And but we all go through it.
It's like we pay for convenience, but then, you know, we save time, we save this, we save effort, but then it's like we lose control on it and self-authority to
yep.
take care of things.
Right.
You're dependent on something else now.
Now, how can Dwell Inc. help you in your home? Come back. We'll wrap it up and tell you all about it. How's that?
Sounds perfect.
Let's do it. You're listening to About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. Hadn't it been fun? Yeah. Come on back. We'll be here.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus, in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart.
All right, welcome back. It was picture time. A Kodak moment. How sweet. Talking to Dwell Inc. during the show today. Been 3 hours. I appreciate y'all both coming in. Good to see you, Kev. And let's do a review here.
Sure.
All right. We ain't talk cost at all.
Nope.
Because every house different, right?
Every house is different. Every house has its own little heartbeat.
So every house has its own little deal.
Yep.
Based around
a customized maintenance plan we put together for you. So if you need your gutters cleaned 3 times a year, there's a different cost than if it was twice a year. But we put together the maintenance plan, and we have a fee that's there monthly, that we come out quarterly. We take care of your vents, and we do like a 15 to 20 point inspection every quarter that we come out while we're changing your filters and whatnot. And while we're there, there's usually 3 or 4 things that you want us to address. Hang pictures or light fixtures while we're there.
Change out fixtures, whatever. Yeah. Fix that leaky faucet, whatever.
And then we're always there when you need us. So we have an issue. Our HVAC unit isn't. So it's one call.
Right.
One person who manages.
How is it working, Todd? How are you doing?
When it works, it's brilliant. When it works, it makes me so happy and proud to do what we're doing. And when I say it's when it works.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
It works for our members. It works. And watching them be delighted by kind of a swarm of people that come and take care of their house for a day, and then we leave. But it's also, it's harder. We're in the shift of how people own houses, right? So the average age of a new homeowner is 36 and a half. The average price point's $450,000. We're transitioning from baby boomers that have homes to now their millennial kids, and that group in between the two don't really need. They don't need what we have as much. They've lived in their house for 10 to 15 years. They still have skill sets of my age, from Kevin's age, from our parents. It's that group that's 45 below that still have struggled to figure out the things. It's new people to Charlotte. So you may have had a infrastructure in Chicago, but when you move to Charlotte, you don't have the infrastructure that's in place. And it's people that have just gotten to the place in their life where their kids have gone to college. They want to travel a little bit more. They know how hard it is to take care of their house, but they just want to hand their keys over to someone else to take care of it for them. So it's taken a year and a half to figure out who the perfect kind of customer will be. And we're just now kind of going in a growth mode of like, all right, now we know that it's proven, the market needs it, and now we want to grow from like our homes to a portfolio that the more densely populated our houses are together, in neighborhoods, the better the experience for the member. You know, if I have 5 houses on the same street, those 5 houses I could forget something one day because I might be there the next. If they're not together, then the efficiencies aren't there.
And it doesn't matter what age house we're talking about either, does it? Because every house...
It doesn't.
Granted, newer houses take less maintenance initially,
yep.
But that changes in time.
Depending on the materials and the quality that they were built.
Yeah, I mean, there's a school of thought that says that when you build a brand new house, you should hand over a manual like you do a car and like maintain your house. Just like you maintain your car.
Absolutely. And
so we're looking at trying to partner with some new home builders for that purpose. Like, we inventory everything at the time of selection.
Well,
and this is how you maintain them.
It kind of acts like a home warranty business. You know, the home warranty, which I don't particularly like them, but then if you know how to play them, I said play them. And I know a guy that plays his real well, Home Warranty, and he, we've argued about it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Home Warranty myself.
I don't like them myself at all.
This is a peace of mind, like in the same regard.
Yes.
A home warranty differs. There's a big deductible. And if there's a catastrophic event that happens, it's wonderful.
And if you're totally at their disposal.
Right.
You're like Kevin, to your point earlier, Kevin, you know, you're at their whim.
Yeah.
You're
on their schedule. Convenience.
Yeah, their convenience. And you got to go with what's it, because that's what you bought.
Yeah.
If you're going to go with it, you got to go with it.
If you're going to, it's like if they're replacing your floor and they come around and you're sitting 3 months without a floor.
Yeah, but you're sitting here in Charlotte, home base, with a Charlotte clientele.
Yep.
So you're readily available.
Real estate is local, no matter how much you want it. The person that is at your door, real estate, like taking care of your house, is a local. I mean, so the more people are other places, it's harder.
That computer cannot fix my roof. You can make a claim on it, but it ain't going to get up there and fix it.
Nope.
So there you go.
Not for a while.
Nope. Won't fix it. That's what I don't like about technology is, you know, you can get everything you want on a computer. No, you can't. Robots are going to take the place of your job. No, it's not. Somebody got to fix that robot. Somebody got to keep it running.
They say that's going to be the new industry is robot.
It's already changing. It's just like, and speaking of that, I've got Nerds to Go or Nerds to something. I don't know what it is. I think it's Nerds to Go coming in, talk about computer. You know, this is something we take for granted, the computers and the technology. We do. It's just like a car. If you don't take care of it, it will go berserk on you eventually. And that's a bad day.
Yeah.
Just like your car, going out to crank it, don't crank. Oh, God, what is wrong now? Mm-hmm. And you got to either call a rollback, your mechanic, or something. Same in the house. So you're that person about a house.
Yep.
Dwell Inc. And how'd you come up with that name?
Quite honestly, a friend I shared the idea with, and the next morning he said, here's your name of your company. And I was like, all right, that's the name of it. It's like, it's not a company until we do something with it. So I didn't spend more than 3 minutes. It's a combination of a dwelling and linking things together. So
sure.
We came up with a name, Dwell Inc. I wish it had another L, but it doesn't. So we'll buy the extra L if it ever matters. But Dwell Inc. is the name. It's like linking people about their house. So.
Well, I appreciate you coming in today, Todd. It's always interesting. Great conversation, no doubt.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you connecting me with Kevin. I appreciate
You need more Kevins, though, don't you?
We do. I'll probably end with this. We're in this really fascinating phase of there's so many people out there that need help with their home, and they don't know where to go to. And I have access through you, and She Built the City, and lots of people that are, Keith Olson and other people that are educating and providing a knowledgeable workforce. And so if we can marry the two, which is I need help and I have someone that will do the work.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do. And to do that as frictionless as possible, that's what we're trying to do.
And I'm going to end with this. In current time, right now, to get experienced people out in the field is dang near impossible when I say experienced. So what do we have to do? We have to start teaching in the field. Now, and this apprenticeship, internship, call it what you want, but to me it's training. It's training young students, kids, all colors, all genders, all, everyone, to learn how to use their hands and mind and do critical thinking. And unfortunately, it's going to take a while because we're at ground zero. We're on the gauge of intelligence or stupidity or ignorance. We've got a lot of ignorant people out there. I was nice that time. Ignorance is not stupidity. Ignorance
Correct.
Is not knowing.
Yes.
And they do not know. How do we change it? We teach. We do it. And we've got to do it through our private industry sectors, or it won't happen because the education system's not doing their job. Totally. It's changing. There are a lot of initiatives going on. God bless you. But we need to change it. And to me, it's not about a labor shortage. It's about mental health, happiness, purpose, serving. Purpose. And that's, to me, what it's all about.
For sure.
Because that's what life's really all about. If you're not happy, why? Why? Because you're chasing and you're stressed and you don't have purpose, typically. Now, I spoke very generically then, but it's true. I don't care who you are or where you're at. That's just the way life is. So what do? We just work harder, change lives, make people happy. How you do that? I don't know.
You can either be a part of the solution or part of the problem, and you just try to be a part of the solution is what I say.
Visit our new website, puttoolsinschools.org. We're off and running with the new school year. Don't know where it's taking us. Not really going to give it a lot of thought. Just going to go with the flow. Things happen, we're going to be there. And we'll just do the best we can and keep spreading love. Keep spreading knowledge, happiness, and purpose. And I thank you, too, for showing up and being here today. And if I run across another peoples, more peoples, OP, I'll definitely put you on the list, no doubt.
Sure.
What you're doing is admirable. It's a challenge, though.
It is.
I can't think of any job or business plan or model that's going to be any tougher than what you're doing.
Don't I know it. We're in the middle of it. But
I know. All right, go make it great. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. That's dwellinc.com. Everything you need to know is on it, right?
If you don't, call us.
Call them. Dwellinc.com. And go spread some love. Got to mentor our kids. Got to make it a better place out there for them to coexist every day. They're stressed too, whether you know it or not. Let's make them happy. Purpose, serving. Go make it a great week, folks. We'll be back here next week with more about your house.
Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah.